The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Jim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I can't trust in a political. you know, a mix in reference. It's dedicated to King James, and it's all about LeBron. I've got AJ in studio with me. Jeff is on his way. The number here is 347-945-5229, and it's going to be a lively day today. We're going to try to keep a controlled chaos, however that works. But I believe in controlled chaos, so we're going to try to keep it that way. So when you call in, please make sure that there are other people that are in the queue that want to talk to. So we got to make sure that we're respectful to everyone. The number is 347, again, 945-5229. And if you want to call locally, you can. Don't forget you can give us a call at 330-781-9600. And you had to download did you know that we have an app?
No, I did not know that.
You got a WSOM app. You go to your Play Store, go and download it. You can check out your app. You can actually call from your app. Yes. You can leave messages for the app. It'll be coming soon. And it's all connected.
WSOM.
WSOM. And so if anybody asks you, what do you do in the morning, who do you listen to in the morning, you tell them while I work and while I play and while I travel, I listen to WSOM. I listen to Tracy and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. It's a cool app.
Yeah.
What do you have there?
An iPad. iPad mini, actually.
iPad mini there. Mm. Cute little case,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Keeps it protected.
Keeps it protected. Now, what do you do on your app? Do you do business on your app, or do you do schooling on your app, or do you play games like the rest of us?
I kind of do all of the above, I guess you could say. Play games. And
you talk on your app? On your mini?
What do you mean talk? Like
a telephone.
You can't use this as a telephone.
Why can't you? People have notes.
This looks, you know, uncomfortable. This looks.
Have you seen the notes that you can use as a phone? No, don't drop it.
Throwing around my, this is a phone.
But have you seen the Samsung Note that
No.
you can use as a phone that looks like putting that mini iPad up against your ear?
Now, I've seen that Samsung has some pretty big phones.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm looking at them like, that looks like an iPad. And
this is my phone.
That's a big phone, too.
That's a big phone. It's a Samsung.
Well, even the iPhone 5 is huge. I mean, long.
But you know, I want, you know, I think we're going to get to wireless technology more.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's what's going to happen. I want the new watch.
The new watch.
Samsung has a watch that pairs with your phone.
Okay.
And so you can talk. It's everything goes. You don't put the watch up to your ear. You just talk through your phone, your watch.
Oh, yeah?
It's like I'm watching with Dick Tracy, before your time, sorry. Big Dick Tracy, you know, he had a watch that he talked in.
Oh, yeah?
And that was his phone. I'm looking forward to that. It takes your zones and it's a pedometer. It checks your heart rate.
Uh-huh.
It does all that kind of stuff. You can check your email on your phone. I'm sorry, on your watch.
On your watch.
On your
watch. And technology, I love it, but it's been giving me a headache lately.
Why is it giving you a headache?
I spent 20 minutes last night trying to figure out how to connect my a video camera to the television.
Oh yeah.
And I was told, oh, you can do it through Wi-Fi. You know, you can.
Well, you can.
I got the Wi-Fi turned on.
Okay.
I had the Wi-Fi connected to the my camera. Then I got it all set up. I was so proud of myself, and I'm like, all right, so now I should be able to watch whatever I filmed right here on my TV. And it didn't work. And I said, okay, it's got to be the TV. I don't know. It's a pretty modern TV, though, and it should be working.
Not necessarily. It works. It just has – you haven't figured out why it's not working.
I love technology, but I tell you, it's giving me headaches.
It does so much in getting – I mean, everything changes. This is my problem. I've been dealing with computers and stuff for about 30 years.
Right.
I've been dealing with the internet for about a good 25.
But that would make sense because you're only 35 years old.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's 35 when I was about 5 years old.
5 years old. You were working
on
a computer.
So what's happening with me is I have a program like Microsoft Word.
Right.
And Microsoft comes out with a new Word.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them building on the Word so I can still use all that I know in my previous experience, they just changed the whole thing. And I don't understand why they changed the whole thing. That doesn't make sense to me.
It's an update. Like change.
An update does not mean change where you find the mail at. You know, you don't have to do all that.
They do that for everything, though. I mean,
why?
When iOS 7 came out for the for Apple,
yes.
I mean, everyone was confused. I had to teach my grandma how to use iOS 7 because she said, Aaron, what happened to what I had before?
Right.
And I was like, Grandma, I got to reteach you.
Why? No, that's what I'm saying. Why should I have to relearn something every time they make a change? I shouldn't have to go through that.
I don't know. Well, I will say this, though. She's pretty technology savvy herself. A lot of older people are better at technology than some younger people.
Oh, that's true.
And I see older folk who have.
Who are you calling old?
I'm not putting an age on older folk. I'm just going to say older folk. And I see them walking around with all the new modern technology.
But I do too. But my question is, they keep on changing, and they have more time.
You just got to relearn.
No, the older folk have more time because they're retired.
Mm-hmm.
Middle folk. Younger folk have more time because they don't work.
I work.
You don't work. Middle folk. Middle folk. We ain't got
middle
time
aged.
For that. Middle folk. We don't have time for that. I don't have time to learn. I mean, you get a new phone, you got to learn where everything is again.
Yeah.
Even the same apps. Then they want you to remember all the new passwords. And then all passwords don't ring the same. So some have to have a capital.
Yeah.
Some have to have symbols. Some have to have numbers. Some can't have any of that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I will defend you. I mean, I will agree with you on that one, that the passwords do get very tricky. And that's
how am I going to remember all that?
That's,
I have a hard time remembering my name.
You have to know one for Facebook, if you have a YouTube account for YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram.
And don't forget this one. Don't forget. Let's not forget this. Then it automatically logs in because either Chrome or Microsoft, they store your emails or your passwords.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to use them.
Right. But then there are sometimes I hate when this happens. They store your password. They'll say, "Do you want us to remember this password?" You say yes. Then something comes up to where, okay, I have my phone and I have my iPad. If I want to use Instagram on my iPad, I can, and I'm logged in and I'm fine. But let's say I go somewhere, I can't, you know, use this everywhere, but I have my phone.
Right.
I have to re-log in to Instagram.
Right.
And
how am I going to remember my password if I'm not using it? That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
This doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, let me ask you this.
Okay.
LeBron staying or going? Is he coming home or going far?
People are
going
to hate me for this, but I think he's a fool if he comes home.
Why?
He's done. What did he do in Cleveland?
Well, it's not about what did he do in Cleveland. In Cleveland, right now, Miami is at a stalemate. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to win a championship. He got what he wanted. So now he can come home, and he can do the Michael Jordan, and he can do the Magic Johnson.
That's what I think he'll do, but I still feel like if he comes back to Cleveland, I don't know. But this is what also I don't like, and this is just how people are. When LeBron left,
We're mad. But we weren't mad that he left. We were mad how he left.
I know that.
I
think we were mad whether he did. I don't care how he left.
Nah.
We were mad that he left.
No, we were mad. I was mad because of how he left.
Okay.
He had me sitting up watching ESPN in the middle of the night when he could have done something.
Yeah.
And said it
I was
at a
up,
press
I was
conference.
Up watching it with you.
Right. So but mine was how he left, but mine wasn't that he left. I mean,
I think it was,
a man
I think
had to do what he had to do.
It's a mix of both. Because I was mad either way. I don't care how he left. I was mad. And I'm a 13-year-old boy who is staying up, like you said, watching ESPN, waiting to hear what LeBron's doing.
And he only looked up for 15 minutes. I mean, come on.
And then I was shut down because he left and went to Miami. But here's the thing. This is just how people are. He leaves. We're all like, good riddance. We'll win a championship without you. You know, blah, blah, blah. People are still upset, but we're trying to cover up by saying we'll be okay without him. Okay? Then this happens. His contract is up.
Right.
People are saying, "Oh, we love you. Oh, we were always a fan of you, LeBron. We were, yes."
No. Because I don't think people are disingenuous. I was upset, but I never stunted my support of him, even though I did not become a Miami fan because he went there.
Tracy, people went from burning their LeBron jerseys. Now they have shirts that say "Forgiven" with the G replaced with the number 6.
Listen, I went out and got me a Cavs jersey when he left because I believe in capitalism.
I know you do.
But, I would love to see him come home for, this is my, I came home. I left and I came home.
Where'd you go?
I went to Los Angeles.
And you took your talents to Los Angeles.
Absolutely. I took my ills and my talents to Los Angeles, and I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back home. And now this is my home, and I think Ohio is a great place to work and live. And I hope that more and more people will return home, because if all of your talent goes everywhere else.
Yeah.
And then you have to also understand, being raised in our community, and when I say, I'm going to say the heartland, when you're being raised in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
you have a different culture and mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go out into the world, our community, our culture, even though we're very diverse in people, we have a similar culture, and trying to assimilate that into another state like Miami,
mm-hmm.
it's not the same.
Right.
People in Miami, people in Los Angeles can be very, very superficial.
Mm-hmm.
They can be, I mean, it's like going away to college, going and living somewhere else, and then saying, you know what, Youngstown's not so bad.
Right.
Akron's not so bad. I mean, it says something where I will be able to take my kids to school,
mm-hmm.
and my kids can go play and be normal. That says something.
Yeah.
Seeing naked women going down the street because you're in South Beach is not necessarily what you want to raise your children with.
Right.
And even though he and his wife are still here, it still makes a difference. And Cleveland is, even though it is a big city, it still has a very hometown feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm glad about the RNC being coming here in 2016. It's gonna highlight.
I think we all are very excited.
Very much so. It's gonna highlight who Ohio is, because we've got a warmth here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not always in other states.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not country, we're not Southern hospitality, and we're not Northern cold.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a warmth here.
Yeah, we do.
And we got a heartbeat here.
We are the heart of the United States.
Absolutely,
exactly.
We got a heartbeat here that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at LeBron coming home, not only does he bring his income, not only does he bring his talent, but he brings an asset to the state that will allow children in Akron and children in the Northeast Ohio quadrant to say, you know what, if LeBron can come home, so can we.
Mm-hmm. But here's my question. Is he still looking for what's the best interest of him? Because 4 years ago,
he don't have to.
Well, 4 years ago he was saying, I want what's best for me to win
he
a championship.
He doesn't have to anymore.
That's what I'm asking. Is he still looking out for himself?
There's no more him.
Right.
What else can you achieve?
So you think his mindset now is...
He's more mature now.
About his family.
He's got a wife. He's got kids. Things have changed. That makes a difference. He just blew you off, didn't he?
Yeah, totally
he just blew you off. He tried to get some dap, and he just walked by.
Oh,
he just shut you down. He did.
Yeah.
No, don't try to overdo it, Jeff. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. So I think he's grown up now. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
What can you achieve? He's got the support. He's got the sponsorships. He's got the money.
Yeah.
He shut down the NBA for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Everything's on hold.
I say that LeBron is the golden child, because everything revolves around whatever LeBron wants. I saw that the president for the Miami Heat was doing anything he could for LeBron, saying, you know, we'll surround you with the right players. You know, we'll do whatever you want. And then the same thing in Cleveland. We did that 4 years ago, and we're still doing it now. We're doing anything we can to get LeBron home.
And I want him to, it's just like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want your kid to come home? You were mad when he left. He shouldn't have left like he did.
Right.
But do you not want him to come back home?
I would love to see him come back to Cleveland, yeah.
And it's not about forgiveness. I mean, your forgiveness is not a hill of beans to him. What does that mean?
Well, not just mine. I think the forgiveness of Cleveland probably matters.
What does that mean?
He even apologized to the city when he... after he had left, for the way he left.
He left in a bad way. He had to sit up all night long trying to figure out he was going to stay here and go. And he, for 15 minutes, he come in there, sat down in the chair, and said, "I'm out." You know, no, that was a bad way to go.
I can say that everyone agrees that he went out a bad way, but he did apologize.
Okay, so
what we think, I think, does matter to him.
When he came back, we booed him.
Oh yeah.
Everyone faces challenges
I'll be right
in their
back.
Lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage.
Christy, he's the king of bacon. No kidding. The minute he embraced Obama, we knew already what we were getting. Christy showed himself to be a fat McCain without any military background. I mean, if you want to reduce it to its simplest term. Christy is a fat McCain without any military background.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, we were talking about LeBron James, and it is 26 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock, and I've got AJ and Jeff in studio with me. And I'm reading an article at Vindy.com, which is a local newspaper here, and they're talking about the school board members couldn't use a copier. And so they did an evaluation for the superintendent, and in the evaluation for the superintendent, there was I guess he didn't like the outcome. The superintendent, Connie Hawthorne, didn't like the ranking. He didn't like the ranking that he got. And so what he did was, at the bottom of there, he made a note. And the note says, I do not agree with the evaluation, but because the school board members could not use the copier, it cut off the rest of his comment. So when they got a public records request to get the copy of the evaluation, it's like all jacked up because all they have is, I do not agree with the evaluation, and no one knew how to use a copier. So in the Vindicator today, they're trying to explain their way out of not knowing how to use a copier.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's on Facebook, and it's talking about, it's a very funny read because you got board members who can't use a copier in 2014. Just had to throw that out there. I thought it was kind of amusing.
Hey, I got a polling about LeBron.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, an ESPN Sports Nation poll. And it said that 43% of people say that LeBron will come back to Cleveland, 36% say another team, and only 21% say that he'll stay in Miami.
I don't think Pat Riley can say too much anymore. I mean, Pat's my boy. Don't get me wrong. I love him to death. But I don't think – I mean, he did all that he could when he threw the rings on the table,
mm-hmm.
you know, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
He threw the rings on the table and says, if you want one of these, come with me.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He did. I'm serious. That's how he threw six because he has them in copper and gold. He threw all the rings down. He's won at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And said, if you want one of these, come with me. So he did.
Yep.
He came with him. He got his rings.
Oh,
he said,
I'm
the thrill is gone. He says, I'm going home.
Is he coming back, Jeff?
I believe he is. I'm not making that as a prediction, but I believe he is. But I'm saying like this. He's still going to have the same problem that he's going to need the coach that he wants.
He's going to have the coach that he wants.
Yeah.
You got to understand. Remember when Magic went to the Lakers?
Yeah.
And when they figured out that Magic was no joke,
right?
The coach was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So who was actually the organizer of the Lakers?
Well,
to me,
you know, they're saying all this stuff about how LeBron left wrong and all this other stuff. The ESPN incident, I call it, happened, but this is all the other decisions he's made have been good, solid decisions.
You have to understand, him coming back to Cleveland
mm-hmm.
is a capitalistic business move.
Mm-hmm.
He will be not only king of the court, he'll be king of Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, he was
when he was here the
No.
He was king of Cleveland.
He was king of Cleveland.
Yeah.
He'll be king of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. He'll have the whole state.
Well, once again, the NBA, Cleveland, that's the only NBA team there is. So I can imagine that even if there were more NBA teams in Ohio, LeBron would still overpower all of them.
No, we're not talking about on the court. We're not talking about basketball.
Wait, Tracy?
Hold on. I'm talking about money. Hold on. I'm talking about money-wise. I'm talking about capital. Remember, he's a businessman.
Yeah,
remember,
absolutely.
He's the one who decided, I'm going to go and hire my friends as my agent instead of agency.
Yeah.
He didn't go say, well, I'm going to have my best friend become an agent. He said, I'm going to establish an agency. He said, well, my PR firm, I'm not going to go hire a PR firm. I've got my boys here, and they're going to start their own firm. You got to
right.
How he
well, now he's got new boys now because Chris Bosh and as well as Carmelo Anthony will not make a decision until LeBron makes a decision.
So are you following me?
So
you got this empire going on around this guy
yep.
who's not thinking necessarily about himself, but he's an empire of business. And a great place to do business right now is in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
He already has a name and the brand, and
yep.
he can go to Cleveland and write his own check.
He has his own Sprite, for goodness sake.
Hey, go ahead, Eric. Good morning.
So good morning, Tracy. So I was just did I hear you right? Did he make a decision already, or
no? This is a prediction.
Oh, I just tuned in. I've been busy playing this open house, so I really ain't been watching no news or nothing.
Wait a minute, I didn't get no invitation. Did you get an invitation yet?
No.
Wow.
Union Hall in North Park tomorrow from 3 to 7. Y'all more than welcome to come.
So he invited the whole country. You
I know.
Hold on. Free food. Bring money. Free
my
food.
My wife's going to kill me.
Am I
bring
muted?
Money.
What you am say? I muted?
My wife's going to kill me.
No.
Hello?
Free food on park tomorrow.
Why do you ask that again?
Am I muted? What'd you say? Am I muted?
No, that was Alabama. But
that's what I said.
What'd you say? You didn't tell your wife you invited the whole country? Here we come.
I know. I didn't realize that now. I forgot. It's not just Blog Talk. It's WSOM, too. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Free food. I mean, you know, you got wedding crashes already.
Larry Long say it's a done deal.
Free food and wine tomorrow. There's a party going on. Good morning, Alabama. How are you? Alabama, you started talking. You asked were you muted. We said no. I said hold on, and now you're gone. I don't understand.
You told me to talk. You told me to talk, right?
Yeah, but I can't hear you.
Oh, the done mic was muted. Check this out right here. Here's the thing. LeBron, to me, is the type of guy, he want all the accolades, but he don't want the responsibility. Like, he talks about he's going to be one of the four greatest players ever to play the game. Then when he lose, man, y'all on me too hard. Then when it comes time for the money, he want 30 million. He want the max he can get, but they lost. It's like he want everything to work out for his favor. Right now he's thinking about who can I play with that's gonna make it easy. Well, I can get all the accolades, but they doing the dirty work. That's always been LeBron. LeBron needs. He feels like he needs a top. Like he's trying to get with Carmelo, a top five player, another top five player. When D-Wade, the year he came, gave him 45 points. At his in Cleveland, he went down there and played with that man, won two rings. Now he getting old. Now if he don't want to go, but it's just him, and he got to bring and carry the team and do what he got to do. He don't want to do that, and that's why I don't like
him. Because
you want to look at guys like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. None of those guys on their teams were top five players. None of them.
Let me say it like
turn your mic down, Jeff, please.
Okay, I don't think you're correct on that. And let me turn my headphones up because I can't hear. I don't think you're correct on that. I think that what LeBron is, because LeBron has had chance after chance to be the hero of a game. He's been the – and he's always passed the ball.
He always chokes.
He don't choke.
He chokes.
He does not choke. He gives the ball to somebody else so that they can be the star. He's a giver.
You telling
like
me
that.
He didn't choke? He didn't choke in that game five.
No, he did not.
That time.
No, he didn't choke. Oh, he didn't choke.
Oh, man.
No, his two boys did not do anything.
He didn't choke in Dallas when they lost that first year.
Oh well, no, I no, he stopped playing.
Okay,
he stopped playing.
Why he stopped playing?
Because he had a problem with management. And the thing is
I'm not talking about. I'm talking about he choked in Dallas when he played the first year in Miami. D-Wade tweaked his head, and he got out there and got scared. I've been playing ball for 30 years.
Listen, I don't. I'm not gonna say that that's not the truth. But one thing I'll tell you, you've got a young man who has made some heck of a decisions with a crazy mama, no daddy, growing up in inner city Akron, Ohio. And so what I'm saying to you is he might not make the best decision every single time, but guess what? He's not acting a fool, getting in trouble like these other sports figures are out there partying and being a fool. He's partying, but he's not – I'm just telling you, he ain't being no fool.
He's being responsible.
I'm not talking about off the court. Off the court, LeBron is a great person.
I'm talking about the whole thing.
What he has done, he has nutted up on court 50 million times and playing ball for 30 years. I know when somebody's scared and don't have heart.
He lacks heart. The same thing. He's being redundant.
No, I'm not.
Can I please take control back of the show?
Yes.
I need it one at a time. Go ahead, Alabama, because I need to hear. I can't hear you.
Trying to make with LeBron for the 50th time, we have seen a guy who lacks the heart, the intestinal fortitude of a superstar, top five greatest ever player, but he wants the accolades of a top five greatest ever player. That's the problem I have with LeBron. It's not that if you going out here and you playing the game and you going after it, but you missing shots, I ain't got nothing to say about this guy. But a guy who falls back is, well, he's Magic Johnson. Well, Mac, don't be talking about you're going to be one of the five greatest players to ever play the game and you ain't got that killer in you. Because one of the attributes of being a killer is that you have those attributes. LeBron is mentally weak when he's on the floor. Now, off the court, I heard he's a great guy. But he has no mental toughness. He lacks intestinal fortitude. And when you test him, he shrinks every time. 9 times out of 10, he loses when he's tested. Most of the time. People just are afraid of him.
Hold on, Alabama. Hold on. Hold on. Go ahead.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, and he's got 2 rings to prove that he doesn't. The thing is nobody is totally consistent in playing ball. I played ball from the time I was 10 years old on up, 9 or 10 years old. Nobody's consistent like that. And you're talking about playing in the NBA, and once again, you're talking about a guy that came from his type of background doing what he's doing and is not being a fool. He is a smart guy. He has made some great decisions. That's why he's a good billionaire. And the other guys look up to him. That's why you have Chris Bosh.
Alabama, hold on.
Why do you have Chris Bosh and them waiting for him to make a decision then?
Mm-hmm. So hold on.
Okay, can I get into that?
No. Go ahead, AJ.
I'm just going to add on to what Jeff said. And plus, he's not saying right now that he is the best. He's saying he wants to be the best. And Alabama, I think, is saying that he is saying right now, I am one of the best, you know, out of the top 5. LeBron has always said, I want to be the best, and I want to be in the top 5. And personally, I don't think because, you know, I think he wants to pass Jordan when it comes to being the best. And I think
that's impossible
because Jordan never lost. LeBron has been to the NBA championship how many years?
But that's why I say he's
and he's only won 2. So,
I mean, don't get me wrong. You can say, you know, with his background, his mama crazy and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is he still chokes because he does not have the strength that Jordan has. So, hold on. 626, your mic is on. Please move whatever you are from your mic.
Oh, hey, Tracy, how you doing? This is Lisa.
Good, how are you this morning?
Hey, I just wanted to say this is probably one of the reasons why I know LeBron is not coming back to Ohio. Talking about he doesn't have heart. As far as I'm concerned, the Clippers don't have heart playing for someone like Donald Sterling. But to say he doesn't have heart, if it wasn't for LeBron standing up the way he did, a lot of these new players wouldn't be free agents now.
Okay.
Everybody's coming at me. Can I say something? No, hold on, Alabama. There's other people here, and it's my show. Kick back. So what I'm saying is, when I say that he doesn't have heart, I'm not talking about his decisions off the court, and I'm not talking about his business decisions.
About you, Tracy.
Hold on, Lisa, one at a time. On the court, when he's playing in the zone, his heart, sometimes he backs up. His continuity is not there. That's why I say he doesn't have the heart. Go ahead, Alabama.
Okay.
The point that I'm trying to make, first of all, Jeff made a point about he won 2 rings. He played against a mentally weak Kevin Durant, who's weaker than him, who still looks up to him, number one. The second ring that he turned the ball over, basically screwed the game up, and Ray Allen bailed him out. If it wasn't for Ray Allen, he wouldn't have the second ring. See, hold on. The other part about it is that I'm not talking about he doesn't have heart off the court exactly. On the court, though, it's clear that this, when it comes to clutch moments, falls short 90% of them, not 90, probably about 75% of the time he really does come up short and looks to others. So I'm just saying, when you talk about greatest five ever, then these are guys that don't do that. These are guys, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and another, my last point, and I'm going to be quiet. I heard a guy make this point. It's the best point I've ever heard. He said he's like Kevin Garnett when he was in Minnesota. Kevin Garnett would get all these meaningless stats, and they would lose. LeBron James would go out and get all these assists and rebounds, and they would still lose. LeBron, when it comes time for him to hit 50, he can't turn it on like that because his offensive skills lack. He's really just a physical specimen. He lacks offensive skills. If you really study the game and know the game, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's just physical. He's not going to come out and outthink and outmaneuver guys. He's just going to come out and just physically beast his way if the refs give him a call or two, but he's not going to turn it on for 50 when they need 50. We don't need 25 assists and 25. We need points, and he don't bring points when it's time.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Once again, absolutely ridiculous point. If he doesn't hit 50, that's not that. First of all, I'm glad he's not Kobe Bryant because I can't stand to see Kobe Bryant come on the court, period. Kobe Bryant is a punk, and he's a sissy punk that cries all the time if somebody just doesn't let him run down the middle by himself. LeBron takes the beating and doesn't say anything about it, and he does what he does. Them guys beat LeBron down. And I saw a game where they beat him so bad, and the ref never made a call, not one call. And that was one of those playoff games. I don't think he chokes so much. He may choke under pressure. I mean, he's a man like anybody else and subject to it. But that does not take away from him being one of the greatest players of all time.
Now, don't get me wrong.
And he will be that. I
agree that he is one of the greatest players of all time, but I still say that he chokes. And when I say he doesn't have the heart, I do believe that, you know, when under pressure, it's not as great. He's not as resilient.
Right.
And is strong under pressure.
I think he's top 10 great.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lisa.
No, I was saying as far as Kobe, I'm with Jeff. I'm here in California. I can't stand Kobe. Kobe's a jerk on the court and off the court. Because if you notice, he hauls the ball on the court. He's not even a team player. Look how many players he's ran off. Look how many coaches he has run off. And as far as LeBron not making points, this and that, you don't have to worry about LeBron because he's not coming back to Cleveland anyway. So if he's not worthy, then he can – no,
listen,
no.
Did you come in on the end of my conversation? I didn't say he was coming back because the Cavs were so great. I'm saying that when he comes back in his contract, he may not own the Cavs, but he'll control the Cavs. It will give him. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't answer me until you hear me out. He'll come back into a position of strength. When I say that, he will come back in more power. He will actually – Gilbert will be the check writer, and LeBron James will be the architect. He will do what he chooses with that team. He will have what he has because the deal that he's going to – let me finish – because the deal that he's going to cut is going to be the same deal that Magic cut when he went to the Lakers.
It sure is.
Yeah.
No, I totally disagree because LeBron is a totally different person. Money, no money, there's no way in hell he's going to go back and play for that owner for a paycheck.
This is not about a paycheck. He ain't coming to L.A. He's not going to Dallas. He's not going to Chicago. He's not going to Sacramento. So what I'm telling you, and he's not staying for the Heat. So coming back home will give – listen, coming back home will put him in prime position to be the king of the state. And when I say king of the state, I'm not talking about on the court. I'm talking about off the court, and it will put him in prime position to become a billionaire to where now his next ambition to own an NBA team can come to fruition.
Let me tell you something. If I worked for a CEO that was like the Cavaliers, but they told me, but Lisa, you own the company. It will be like you own the company. I still would pass. I can guarantee you based on LeBron's personality – he is not coming back to play for that man. It's not even in his heart.
He's not coming back to play for himself. He doesn't like the state that much.
I can guarantee you. Mark my words.
He ain't going to work. There's nothing that the Cavs can give him. Go ahead, AJ.
He's not coming back.
This is a different LeBron than it was 4 years ago. This is all about a new mindset for him, in my opinion, because 4 years ago, all he was concerned about was winning a ring. Now, this is five years later, this is a different mindset. He already has his rings. Now all he wants to do, I don't think it's about the money. I think it's about where he's going to finish off his career. And like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I think he's a fool if he comes home. But honestly, either way, I'm still not going to like the NBA either way if he comes home. But my thing is, it's a new mindset of LeBron. Is what is good for my family, what is also good for me. And it's not about the money, it's not about the rings now, because he already has that. It's about what is good for my family now. That's what I think he's thinking.
He saw that $2 billion check that man wrote for that team.
Right.
And he is going to put himself in position for ownership, because remember, he's the one who came out and said, if Donald Sterling is still playing, I will not be playing next year.
Which I can't understand. Mm-hmm. I think that was terrible.
It may be a terrible decision.
That's an excellent move.
Hold on. It might be a terrible decision. You might not agree with it, but you got to understand what he said. So now he said, okay, I don't like this type of owner, and I know that Dan Gilbert can be a total butt. Mm-hmm. So let me go use the butt for my advantage.
Probably.
No, he's more than a butt.
Well,
you know, Lisa, you know I'm on
terrestrial radio, right? Lisa, I'm on terrestrial radio. I don't cuss. So what else would you like for me to call him?
Did I cuss?
I said me.
I don't think I cuss.
So I said he's a total butt. Now you can put any name you want to put in there.
It would be different if he was just a jerk. You know, him writing that letter, and he's still angry with LeBron.
Come
to this
on,
day.
Listen.
LeBron's not coming back.
Man
disrespects
honey, listen. Let me tell you something about people with money. Their feelings and their hurtness, it stops at green.
Secondary.
Not for some men. I'm sorry.
Listen, sis. We always make this statement about in a black community about white men. We say that a white man may screw the other one's wife, but when it comes to making some money, they ain't going to fight. They're going to make that money. Then they'll fight. But they're not going to fight before the money.
Well,
now listen, will you please listen?
No.
Will you please listen? They're not going to fight before the deal is done, because they're going to make sure that they enrich themselves. LeBron has learned that, and when he learned that in his first 7 years, because when he went to Miami, he took a pay cut. That's my other one.
He did to
Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He took a pay cut so that they could hire him
and
get him in there. And then when they were going to add other pieces, all three of the guys were willing to, four of those guys were willing to take a pay cut to bring in another player. You have to understand, they are building something different than just a paycheck. LeBron could end up owning the Cavaliers, is what we're trying to say, or something of the kind.
So you think Gilbert really would sell the Cavaliers to LeBron James?
He might not have a freaking choice.
He has a choice. Sterling.
He won't own the Cavs now. You're not, listen, look in the future.
Yeah.
The future says he may not own the Cavs, but he'll be able to make and leverage the monies that he'll get from the Cavs.
And go back to what I said.
He will own Ohio. The man is not, he is not, when I said this earlier, and you may have missed it. When he decided he needed an agent, he went and established an agency. He didn't go just make one of his boys an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen to the business mind of this.
Exactly.
When he needed a PR firm, he needed a marketing and PR firm. He didn't go and just find one of his boys and get them a job at a PR firm. He established his own firm.
Exactly.
You're missing my point. To be the owner of a whole city, to be the owner of a whole state, to have that kind of control and that kind of power and that kind of influence in one central concentrated area is a lot of manipulation and wealth. For him, he won't never do that in another state. He'll only do that in Ohio.
Exactly.
So for him to come back to Ohio, it will give him a, now he may not, but it will give him a leverage business-wise with influence and power that he will get nowhere else in the world. And he can come here and do what he chooses, and he can write a check for Ohio wherever he chooses and do whatever he wants. So the business is, because this is no longer about Lisa. This is no longer about basketball. This is about commerce.
It's about business, like you just said.
And he wants to own a team.
Can I interject something?
Go ahead.
This is Alabama. Look, the point that was made about Kobe, Kobe being a punk and all this and that. I don't care. Kobe is an a-hole. I will agree with anybody on this phone. But when you're talking about on that court, in his prime, taking a guy like Pau Gasol, who was maybe a top 20 player, he wasn't even top 10, and that's it, and a guy out of high school by the name of Andrew Bynum, and going and winning two rings by himself, plus hitting 81 points. Look, man, to say this guy isn't the closest thing we've seen to Michael Jordan is just being disingenuous, just disingenuous and not fair to Kobe Bryant. Now, I'm not.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm a Michael Jordan. I'm a Michael Jordan fan until the day I die. But at the end of the day, you're right. LeBron can probably never pass him. But all I'm saying is, if you're going to get it on your own merit and not playing with top five players. That's the thing I hate. You're trying to make an AAU team, and you're trying to take all the glory for playing on an AAU team. You're trying to get Kevin Love. You're trying to get everybody to come play with you in one team, and then you tell me about talking about you want to be top five. No. If you're going to be top five, then you should be able to bring that type of caliber of help with a guy like a Scottie Pippen, who only averaged 19 points when Michael Jordan was with him. And he drafted him, and basically Michael Jordan raised this guy up, which built up Michael Jordan even more. But this guy, you want to go get guys that are just as good as you, or almost as good as you, and play with them, and then basically walk your way to a ring.
Absolutely.
Then, come on, no. I'm sorry.
Well,
no.
Why not? He's making money. He's making history. He's
okay,
making
get it.
His name known. Please.
Get the ring. Get the ring. Don't call top five. But don't say you're top five, then.
You are looking at it from a gladiator standpoint. He is a smart businessman. He is the Muhammad Ali of basketball. Mm-hmm. And that's what he is. Muhammad Ali was a great boxer, there's no doubt about it, but he used tactics to defeat his people, not just straight-out boxing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would call Muhammad Ali this, that, and other. Michael Jordan was a gladiator, but he was a smart gladiator as well. And I think LeBron has taken some notes from Michael Jordan, and I think he's taken some notes from whoever is advising him. He has done remarkably well, and yes, he's going to make some money. It's about winning.
This is not about necessarily winning on the court anymore because he's got what he wanted. This is about winning. This is about winning at the game, and the game is to own the game, not just to be a player at the game. Go ahead, AJ.
Well, Alabama was just saying about how much he loved Jordan, and I understand that he's talking about, you know, LeBron will never be like Jordan. But here's my thing. Jordan was an awesome player. We'll always say that. But here's also a thing. You have LeBron James, who had the help of Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Who did Michael Jordan have the help of? Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. And I can't say the rest of the roster for the Bulls
that's
at that time. But those are two other guys at that time who were good. And they played with Jordan, and they were good. This time now, we have LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. Three guys.
I'm going to steal your argument.
Great basketball players.
No. Because, see, the difference between those three and Michael Jordan brought people in who had the capability of becoming great. When James went down to Miami, Wade and Bosh were already great. So you had, remember, it was a dream team.
Well, I agree.
It was a dream team, because remember when he left, Magic even said, and I'll quote him, he said that we built a team based on one. He's going down there and building a team, and he's going to have a support cast, mm-hmm. which makes a difference. And maybe his decision may have been right and or wrong. This is not a disparity on his decision. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my issue was how he left, not that he left. So the man's got to do. But him coming back will be about him and his future, because he's looking at trying to become an empire.
Plus, I think
an empire is different than a basketball player.
Yeah. And plus, I think people say that LeBron will never be like Jordan because LeBron left. I think that's why people say that. Jordan played for the Bulls for what? 7 years? Am I correct on that? 12. Okay,
don't even know.
I was way off. But 12 years, and then, but people say he'll never be like Jordan because he went to Miami.
But you missed my point. This keeps on going on the court. He's a great player on the court, and there's bar none, and there's none like him across the globe, and he is the best for this time. And every time has a best.
Tracy.
You got to understand, every time – hold on. Every time has a best. You had Monroe. You had West.
Renfro, yeah.
You had Baylor.
Kareem.
You had Kareem. You had Dr. J. You had Michael Jordan. You had Magic Johnson. You have got LeBron James. Larry Bird. You've got all these guys, and they come through here, and they have their seasons. And because of the evolution of the game, every season is going to make another great. But in all that right. great, you've got to be an empire when you leave. Because if you don't, because remember, it's what you say.
Retired.
Right. So now, what's Larry Bird doing? What's Michael Jordan doing? What's Magic Johnson doing?
Well, Magic's
okay.
doing everything.
Okay.
Also,
are you following yeah. me? What is Jerry West doing?
I don't know much about Jerry West.
Jerry West, was he not the architect for basketball of the Lakers? Did he not create?
Oh, yeah, more or less.
Did he not go create the Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Did he not go up to the Sacramento Suns? I mean, you got to understand, they have created their own niche of what they want to do. These guys have to find a job after they get done with the job because the job isn't really over. Even with the Republican who is the crazy ball-headed guy. Help me out.
No.
Basketball player, he's a commentator now.
Ooh.
He's a Republican.
I know you're talking about. I can't.
Barkley.
I have no
Charles
idea what you're talking
about. Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
Charles
Barkley.
He's
actually also created a niche for himself. Right now, hold on. Right now, you've got to look at LeBron James. If he is a smart young man like we think he is, he's looking at the end game. And the end game is, what am I going to do when I don't want to play no more? Even what you call my boy the doctor now. Tall guy, Shaq.
Yeah. I love Shaq.
So where's Malone now?
Don't know where Malone is.
Are you following me? You know, you got crazy Rodman. Where's Pippen now? Byron Scott's trying to coach somewhere. Where's Worthy now?
I agree with
I mean,
you.
Where's
I agree.
Kareem
I,
now?
I
where's
agree.
My, where,
your point has been made.
Okay.
I get it.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Hold on. Let me. Hello?
Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets, or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Call now, 800-489-6410, 800-489-6410.
Alabama,
here
service?
At Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better...
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Intercepted near Ben-Gurion Airport. Militants say they intend to fire more rockets at this country's main gateway to the world. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Jerusalem.
More international tension and a report of a deadly attack today on Ukrainian troops by pro-Russian rebels. Ukraine's defense ministry says the rebels fired missiles at government troops near the Russian border, killing at least 19 of them. A hospital in Indiana has been put on lockdown this morning after a patient was stabbed to death. An elderly woman died. Robert Wiley of the Merrillville Police says it didn't take long for officers to find a suspect.
He was subsequently located shortly after 5 a.m. this morning at another residence in Gary. He has been taken into custody.
There was a second body found in Gary. Police believe the suspect knew both victims. Family members say she's a hero who prevented more loss of life. The 15-year-old girl who was shot in the head during a massacre at a house outside Houston. 6 people died, all belonging to one family. The girl called police and identified the alleged shooter.
She absolutely saved
the lives of her family members. She is the hero.
Paul Selinsky knows the family, 33-year-old Ronald Lee Haskell, to be arraigned today. Cigarette makers Reynolds American and Lorillard say they're in talks for a possible merger to create a big tobacco firm. This is ABC News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. And if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
Three European nations and the U.S. have confirmed their foreign ministers will join Iran's nuclear talks this weekend about the Iranian program. It's an effort to advance stalled international negotiations. For the 10th day in a row, oil prices around the world falling. That could lead to cheaper gas for American motorists soon. Having fun with your kids this summer doesn't necessarily need to burn a hole in your wallet. Before going to an amusement park, do a search for coupons and deals on the Internet. Hundreds of factories have free tours. Find out more at factorytourusa.com and cool off at Ben & Jerry's factory or go to the home base of Hershey's Chocolate. There are also other choices. And how about bowling? At kidsbowlfree.com, you can find out free kids bowling deals. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Did you know it took 39 versions to get the American flag just right? That's proof that great things get even better when they're reinvented. Valvoline's been reinventing motor oil since 1866. And with our all-American roots, we thought it was time to celebrate our legacy by giving away a free American flag. Available at O'Reilly Auto Parts when you buy 5 quarts of Valvoline motor oil and an oil filter starting at $22.99. See store for restrictions and details. Flag offer expires September 30, 2014. Go to valvoline-usa.com for more info.
Since 1936, DAF's goal has been your complete satisfaction and has become the nation's number one destination for electronics and appliances. Shop DAF.com for a better experience. Free delivery on thousands of items. Apt, pleasing people since 1936.
330-781-9600. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here come bad news, talking this and that.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I hope you're having a good day today. I'm here in studio with Jeff and AJ. It's Open Mic Friday, and the number is 347-945-5229, and we're talking about We were talking about LeBron James, and I wanted, since we were on the sports thing, I wanted to bring up if you guys have seen the ESPN cover with Venus Williams.
Yeah.
And what you guys think about that, and should she have bore it all?
Go ahead, Jeff, because I didn't even know this woman till just now.
How do you?
The greatest.
I'm not a
tennis player in the world.
I'm not a tennis watcher.
I am not either, but the thing is I watch when they play.
You go.
Tracy, I'm mad at you, Tracy.
Why are you mad at me?
Because that kid you had, what his name, AJ, made
serious?
A crazy point. I'm sorry, I mean, ain't no disrespect. The young guy you had on the show.
Made a crazy point.
And I'm like, I'm going to kill his stand. He don't know what he's talking about. And then you just talk up to the break and left. Then you wouldn't let me talk during the break.
Well, okay, say what you got to say now.
The point I'm making is he just said that Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman, right? That's one point that's just ridiculous, number one. Number two, he said he thought Jordan only played 7 years, which shows his youth. The thing is this. To say that Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman is like, it's just ridiculous. The point you would have to make is that even when Michael Jordan didn't play, Scottie Pippen only averaged 22 points a game that year. Scottie Pippen never averaged over 19 points a game. That would be, in order for that to be like with Michael Jordan, you would have to say Scottie Pippen, take him off and put Charles Barkley on the same team, and he'll get Patrick Ewing to play in the post because Chris Bosh averaged 24 and a half, almost 25 points a game the year right before he came to Miami. Dwayne Wade almost went back to back and won two rings before, and the year that he came, Dwayne Wade came there and gave him 43 points, look it up, gave him buckets. This dude went and played with another top three player, not top five, top three. And then we got one of the best big men in the game at that year because he was averaging 25 points a game. That's ridiculous. To say Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, people liking me to Scottie Pippen. I like Scottie Pippen. But he was not Charles Barkley or Dominique Wilkins. He just wasn't. He was a great player, great defender, all-around player. He was kind of like LeBron, but he wasn't LeBron. But I'm just saying he was a great player. And Michael Jordan came in the league in 84. So...
You
got to know the game before you just make these points.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Eric. Go ahead, Jeff.
Let me just ask one question. How many rebounds did Scottie Pippen make?
He was an assist.
What does that have to do with a top five player, though? With a top three player like D-Wade?
Oh, it has a whole heck of a lot to do with it.
So you telling me that Scottie Pippen was top five? Get up. Was he top three?
I asked you the question, how many rebounds did Scottie Pippen average?
Scottie Pippen didn't average a double-double.
Well, I don't know what he had. I don't have my gear here to look it up.
But the point I was making was not about his rebounds. I'm talking about a guy who would be top three, considered top three. Back then, that would have been Dominique Wilkins or Charles Barkley because those guys were ridiculous back then. That's what that's like. Today that would be like him going to OKC playing with Kevin Durant.
Can I go pick up?
That's a problem.
Eric, go ahead.
I don't like to compare Jordan to LeBron because it's not like those two can actually get together and play a game of one-on-one like a best of three series because Jordan's older. If they were the same age, I would love to see those two just battle it out. Best of three series. Whoever wins the series is the best player in the game.
This was directed
to Alabama.
Alabama, and I understand where you're coming from. I wasn't around during that time.
He's still in high school. Give him a break. Go ahead.
I understand where you're coming from, but I was just trying to say that Jordan was the best, but he also still had help, kind of like what LeBron has. And Jordan could school anyone, but at the same time. Every player needs help, and I think that's what I was trying to compare here, was that LeBron is good, but yet he still needs help, and Jordan was also good, but he also needed help because not one player can run an entire team.
And I think that was LeBron's problem when he left Cleveland. He was trying to be it all, and he didn't have a support team, and Gilbert would not bring it up for him. And remember, that conversation was real when he left and went to Miami.
But, Tracy, isn't there a difference between getting help and getting a top five, top three player on your team as well as one of the best power forwards in the game?
Okay, let me say it this way. But he didn't go, and when he left and went to Miami, he didn't go and play with average boys. The Three Musketeers down at Miami was a dream team. They'd never seen any that much collective talent on a team ever. It was historic. It was historic. So what you had was you had a superpower that was beyond. You know, it was like the cartoon we used to play, we used to watch when we were kids. When the Rangers got together, they superpowered all together. No one could kill them. It was like the Power Ninjas, whatever. So we need to give
Power
you
Rangers.
Got to understand.
Power Rangers.
Thank you very much.
Well, I want to say Alabama. Did you understand where I was coming from when I said that?
I get what you're saying, but Superman. If you're talking about the Super Friends, you're talking about Superman, Batman, and you know probably another guy that you know. I'm just saying. I mean, just to say that. That was the equivalent to Scottie Pippen, who was a great player. But at that time in the league, he was top 10 probably, but not top
right.
5. He wasn't
again,
a top 5 player.
Again, but he didn't have to be top 5 because of the level of the competitors that were out there. Remember, every team, every season is evolving into greater players. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to understand the technology and the evolution of these men. These guys are... They're superhuman beings. When it comes to the sport, you gotta give some credit where the credit's due.
Yeah, physically Tracy, right now the guys right now are more physical specimens. But talent wise, you can't name two good. You can't name that many good power forwards and centers.
But
there
again,
are no centers
again,
there are
Alabama,
no real true
again,
power forwards.
I gotta let Eric in. But again, we need to also give credit to the times that we're in. And yeah, LeBron is a great player. We're not trying to say he's not, but he has to have four other guys in the paint.
So
if
he's
don't
not
have
the player
four,
that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant is. That's all I'm saying.
No, let me say this.
That's
he,
true, though.
He,
too.
He
that
is
true.
He is not the player because he's not the man, but he is super extraordinary for the time
he's
that
great.
He's in. Hold on,
he's
because
great.
You remember. Hold on. You got to understand, LeBron is a power player because of his physique and who he is and how he's made. He's a specimen. But look at what, you know, Michael Jordan, he took a ball from mid-court almost and went up in the air, sprawled his legs, stuck out his tongue, and dunked the ball and say, in your face. I ain't seen LeBron do that yet. Different player.
That's not that hard, Tracy. I love my
Yeah, Bianchi, good morning.
If the GOAT had made it to the NBA, he probably would have put some shame on Michael Jordan.
Who's the GOAT?
Tell me who the GOAT is.
It's my Earl Manigault. Earl Manigault was in a different era. He would have been about to retire by the time Michael Jordan
well,
got
see,
there.
Well, see, that's the point of y'all's conversation. You cannot right. take people in different eras and compare them with players now because players today – are utilizing what they've seen people in different areas do.
Yeah,
they
base
their learning.
Yeah,
they base their training. Look at Willie Mays when his basket is catch over the shoulder. Now you see players doing that all the time. But he put that in their minds, and they began to train around making those type of plays. So, no, you can't take a Michael Jordan and bring him up today and you know, you can't take people today and take them back, neither.
That, I agree with that.
Also,
the NBA
also,
no, the NBA
also
so
you have to consider Curry Flood, what he done in order to make it possible for LeBron James to do what he's able to do and become a free agent. He attacked the reserve clause that baseball, football, and even basketball owners had over players virtually keeping them a slave. Where they couldn't move and take their talents elsewhere and get the highest amount of money for their talents.
I will agree that the sports now are so much different than they were.
That's what we're
back
saying.
Then.
That's
and
what I'm saying.
I agree with that, and it's you can't. And I'm not sure who said that, but
Bianchi.
Yeah, I agree completely. You cannot take players. You can't bring them up from back then and expect them. I don't think it's gonna. They'll understand.
That's why,
and then you can't take
why,
players from now and
hold
bring them back.
That's why the rules keep changing. Hold on, I got to Eric again. But they didn't have no 24-second clock. They didn't have no three-point play. Things have changed. The floor changed. The tennis, as a matter of fact, can you imagine playing basketball now as a pair of Chuck Taylor?
No.
See what I'm saying? Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty big. I mean, it's pretty serious in Ohio when you got Cedar Point willing to change the name of Roller Coaster just to get LeBron to come here.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Totally.
I mean, that says something for the comments that this man brings. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You listen to me.
Leave the mic on. Bianchi.
And look at the changes that they made in sports with the advent of black players.
But the point that they're making, I agree with. I'm just saying that right now, like if a kid is over 6'8", he's outside trying to play point guard. I mean, they've ruined a lot of these kids aren't as skilled as guys were back in the day. If you were 6'9", you were in the post, you specialized in rebounding, blocking shots, hitting close in, jump shots, hook shots. Now these guys can't do that. They 6'11", and everybody wants to shoot the three. And trust, I still play ball. I see AAU coaches in the gym every day.
I remember when three-point shots came about.
He's 16. He can put the ball on the floor. Why does he need to put the ball on the floor when you got a point guard out there that's 6'2"? He needs to
you
get
know
a
why
block
they brought
out
the three.
Everybody
you
wants to
step
out on the wing and be a guard now, and it's ruined the game. Really, it's really just a few guards in the game that are even as skilled as they were back in the day because most of these kids now want to be N1, crossover, shoot the three, dunk, that's it. They can't hit a 10-foot jump shot, though. They don't play good defense, they're not good passers. That's why you have a shortage of point guards now because kids can't pass anymore because everybody that can play, can hit a jump shot, wants to hit 30 points. They're not anymore pure point guards. People are more selfish now. So I beg to differ that I think these guys are more physically capable, physically stronger, bigger. I'll give you that. But you go back maybe 10 years ago on back, like maybe 2005 on back, those guys were actually more skilled and better players, and it was more spread out and more competitive and a better product for the NBA instead of just every five and six guys ganging up on one team trying to win. Because that's what they had when they first – and the NBA almost went bankrupt because they had that with Boston, and it was bad for the game. They really weren't a good product back then. And the ABA was actually more competitive against them.
Well, the money,
really
you didn't have the money there back then like they do today. That's another thing you have to consider.
But outside of the money, even outside of the money, these guys are ganging up five and six. Like right now, a team like Atlanta,
they can't even compete with a team.
It used to be better when it was competitive. Now everybody wants to play, and then you want to give all the credit to one guy, which I don't understand. It's like LeBron takes all the credit, but – it's a top. You playing with another top five.
It always has been one player take all the credit. Look at Larry Bird. He took the player. West took the credit.
Well, Larry Bird was a heck of a ball player. Larry Bird took up and stepped up in big moments. LeBron doesn't do that. LeBron will get you a bunch of stats during the game, but in the big moments, he shrinks. So it's just like quarterback. When you play quarterback, the quarterback makes certain throws to win the game, then the quarterback gets the credit.
You talking to a man don't know a damn thing about basketball. I don't know nothing about basketball and very little about football. I'm a baseball man.
Guys, look, guys. The Spurs won the championship. They won the championship soundly. Why is LeBron getting all the conversation right now? That's what I don't like.
Because LeBron has marketed himself to be what he is. LeBron is a marketer. I give him that. He markets himself, but he doesn't want to do the hard work to be that. But he'll market himself to be that. He will.
A-Rod was a marketing piece that didn't work out. They gave A-Rod Alex Rodriguez $250 million because at the pace that he was going, they could market his pursuit for the home run record, but it didn't work out. Robinson Cano, Mariners gave him $260 million contract. So they marketing these.
Baseball players
ain't old. Let me see you get up there and hit even an 89-mile-an-hour fastball.
Look, you got 13-year-old kids.
Michael Jordan went from basketball to baseball. He couldn't pad his own weight. Could
13
he?
Years
could
old hitting the ball.
His weight?
You're just a fan. You're just a fan, and I respect that. But at the end of the day, you got kids 12, 13 years old.
I'm not a fan. I'm a trainer.
On the Major League scouting list already.
Wait a minute. Hang on for
12,
a second. Hang on for a second.
13 years old hitting 70
hang
or 80 miles an hour fastball
for a second.
In the 12th grade, 7th grade.
Hang
you
on.
You
Alabama, are you just a fan, too? I'm a baseball
I
trainer.
Baseball.
I train.
Baseball is
I train
okay,
baseball
Okay, so we
players.
Can't even have this conversation because you're not going to understand me. You're just a fan. I respect that, though.
I'm not
I
a fan.
It,
I'm a trainer.
But I don't think those guys
if
can get
be,
$200 million. I'm sorry.
Lower your
overpaid.
Tone a little bit and hear what I'm saying. I train baseball players.
Okay.
And see how much easier it is to understand each other when we're just a little bit an octave lower in our conversation?
Okay,
and about
well, hold on. You made your point.
347-945-5229. I'm in the studio with Jeff and AJ. And we were talking about LeBron James. Will he return to Ohio? Will he stay in the win? I still think he – I don't know. But for a – and I think AJ, I think that was you that made the comment about Cedar Point.
No, that wasn't me. That was a caller. But I agreed 100%.
Come on,
that's a little ridiculous.
Come on now. You're talking about king of Ohio and not king of a team. He'll never make king of South Beach, but he will make king of a whole state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's too many competition in South Beach.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the big witness poster we had down in downtown Cleveland? I mean, even when he was here the first time,
no.
I think he was a king.
He was the king, but he was the prince that was named king.
I mean,
but right now, if he comes back, I really believe this is going to be a economic phenom.
Phenom at the right time.
Yeah,
because too much is going on in the state of Ohio in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna come back. You got that casino down there, and where Gilbert thought he was gonna pimp him for the casino, he's gonna pimp Gilbert in the casino. Right now he's gonna make him call uncle. All I'm serious.
Do you think that Dan Gilbert and LeBron have made their peace?
It's not about peace.
It's about money.
It's not about peace.
You think they can hate each other, but
they never hate each other. They just have a disagreement.
Uh-huh.
And people of that kind of. And this is how we need to learn something here. You don't have to be like me to deal with me. See, our problem is we always want to deal with people that like us. It ain't about whether you like me or not.
I don't want to deal with people that don't like me.
I don't care if you don't like me. You don't have to like me.
You better learn, my brother.
Because, you know, there's a lot of people that I work with that I don't like.
Yeah.
Neither do I respect. That does not mean I can't work with them and respect them. That's what I'm saying.
you have to learn in life that you're going to always be in a situation where somebody's not going to like you or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to get rid of them, so you're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And the best way to deal with it is to look at your mission, not the person that's carrying it out.
And it's a lesson that we need to teach people, and I'm going to segue outside of LeBron. This is a lesson we need to teach people about like. People quit their jobs because they don't like their boss. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Give me my paycheck. I'll do my job.
Right. I have a job, and there are people in my work that I don't like, but there are also a lot of people that I do like. And like you just said, like them, don't like them. They don't like you. They do like you. You're getting a paycheck, and just do your job.
But again, it's do your job and then plan for where I'm going next.
Right.
It's like chess. You need to plan for your next move, two moves behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is going to get to my objective, then this is what I'm going to do. What's happening with us is we get emotionally charged, and as a matter of fact, our government is dependent on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get emotionally charged, and so we can't do anything outside of our like zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think people like us when they don't like us, and we support them when they don't like us, and then we find out that they kill us because they truly hated us, and they've been using us all along. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 25 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the 11th, 7-11-14.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Jeff and AJ in studio with me. Good morning, Stanley. How are you? Okay. So my question, I'm going back to my original question.
Good morning, Tracy. Sorry.
Good morning, Stanley.
By the way, just wanted to do, I went to see a great movie yesterday, The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Amazing. I think a lot of people got to go see a movie because it talks about a lot of things things that we need to talk about. Some stuff that,
like what?
You know. Oh yeah, the liking and the not liking of somebody, the trait that we have that we basically, if we don't know something, we're scared of it and things like that. There are good people, like I hear a lot of black people say, oh, whites are like this. No, there's some good white people who've done good things for black people, and
no.
There's some white people who've done bad things for black people, but that doesn't
really?
Make all of them that way, you know? There's some good
black
men, and there's some bad
people. The first movie was a good movie. I thought the first movie was excellent. That's what I really
yeah, in both of those movies, the apes depicted as being conservative in their views, and they was going against liberals.
Y'all, I've never been able to get through the ape part. I've never seen a Planet of the Apes movie.
I think I've
really?
Seen one and one time only. I've seen it. That's bad. I wouldn't see Maleficent though.
What is that?
That is the story of you know Sleeping Beauty, right? The story of you know Sleeping Beauty. It's the story of Maleficent, the evil. Well, she's considered a fairy in her movie, but the evil villain in Sleeping Beauty, and that actually, it was back and forth for me with that movie because it kind of changed the story of Sleeping Beauty, but at the same time it kind of gave a twist on evil can still be good, and it was a good movie. I don't know if anyone out there that's listening has seen it, but I went and seen it and I enjoyed it quite a bit. It gave a nice life lesson.
I wish every young kid would see a movie called Stand By Me. That's one of my favorite movies growing up of all time. It was such a great movie.
Stand By Me.
I have not
Stand
seen
By
that
Me.
Movie.
You got to see it. It's an older movie, but you got to see it.
I'll put it on my list. Thank you.
You probably can watch it free on. Go ahead, Stanley.
No, there. Like you said, there's a lot of movies also influence us in society. There's movies that we could all relate. I wish everybody would see Malcolm X. Everybody should see that movie. There's some movies that really influence us and shows us different things that we don't know, and through the movie, through great actors and everything, could influence the whole society, and you could feel what they feel.
Hey, Stanley, I want to see God's Not Dead.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. I heard about that. That's the movie I have to go see. I heard that.
I went
the person, the teacher that sang against the person. Why would I still believe in God when he lost his wife or something? I know that's a movie.
Yeah.
I have
right.
to go see.
I went and seen that movie, and it was a very good movie. Definitely worthy of seeing, especially if you, are into that kind of stuff when it comes to debating whether God is real or not, and it's definitely a worthy movie of going to see.
Hey, I got a question. Should Venus have bared at all? Y'all didn't answer that question.
Oh, we didn't. Oh,
What's wrong with that picture, Tracy? I see nothing wrong.
I know you don't see anything wrong. The question is, should Venus have bared at all?
She didn't bear at all. She bared her side.
The side of wrong.
We're
going back.
Go ahead, Bianca.
You have to ask the same question, same thing about Cecil Fielder. He proposed in a shot like that also.
You're right. Should they have bared it all on the front cover of a magazine?
They didn't bear it all. You know, Venus wore in her some of her uniforms, which is flesh tone. People have said she was naked at a point or two at a time until you look at it very closely.
Well, she's naked.
That's a very stunning,
there's no doubt about it.
I mean,
she's a very stunning, beautiful woman.
You're
absolutely
right. So my question is, should she have four at all?
I see nothing
if
wrong
she,
with the picture.
If she got it to bear
yeah,
her, and I can, I, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of women out there I wouldn't want to see like that.
No doubt.
So why not?
Again,
no. No, because I'm friends with the wife.
I need to see it again so I can make a proper.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, because it's a conversation right now, and everybody's having a conversation about the cover of ESPN with the naked people on the front.
Well, what about Sports Illustrated? I mean, it's the same thing. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
It's called the body issue.
It's the same. What's the difference between what she did than what the models do on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Same thing.
Swimsuit.
So
edition.
My question is, should they bear it all? Is it good that they've done this? I mean,
it is not good.
It is not good?
No, it's not good.
I mean, there's more. Don't get me wrong. That's just the cover. You got to go on the inside of the. They got pictures.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, there's more.
Okay.
I mean, there's more. I mean, and I mean, don't get me wrong. They got some people in here. And it's the body. I mean, this is the bodies that we want. But the question is, do we bear the body?
That's the bodies that some people want. But
I don't know, because she's not thin. I mean, she's a meaty girl.
She's a thick girl, and you know, and like this. I'm a man. I don't like.
She better eat
skinny women. I mean, when I was dating, I didn't date skinny girls. I wasn't attracted to them. And so, you know, as far as it goes.
But I'm saying she's
That's what I'm talking about. She would be somebody that I'd be attracted to in that way.
But my question is that the image that we should portray? Is that the image?
No, it's not the image. No, it's cheapening.
So
it's cheapening. It's how do you say? I can't even think of words to describe. It's not good.
AJ, it's your generation. What do you think?
I mean, that's a touchy subject, and this is going back to all the way back to Marilyn Monroe. In my opinion, women. I mean, when they started portraying this kind of stuff, it kind of just became the new normal of. And it's the same thing with guys too. I mean, it's kind of become the new normal of, you know, seeing these kind of stuff in magazines, seeing these kind of stuff on the internet. And do I think it's right? No. But I think that people are so used to it that they don't really care anymore.
Do men still have the... Go ahead, Pian Yankee.
What's the difference when you have sports photographers on the side of the court shooting up Venus and Serena's dress in between their legs anyway?
All right. When they're getting out of cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And getting out of cars and
so
forth. But
so let me say this.
Let me
why
make
would you wear
a,
something short enough for me to take a picture underneath my dress?
Because that's part of the uniform in the sports and the activity that they're engaged in. But let me say one thing. Now, Cecil Fielder, I would have thought he was much more bulky than what is shown on that picture because of the uniforms he's wearing. But those who are in those particular sports can look at their bodies and see the attention that they have put in certain areas of their muscular skeletal. His legs, his arms, you know, her thighs, her arms, you know, how thin her, from the knee down to her ankle, how thin it is. So a person who's in a sports anatomy can learn a lot from looking at those pictures.
I agree. I think that she'll be an example for a lot of women to know what it is to be fit and things like Venus, like this and that. We have to come back to a society that we have to have standards of having women and men being fit and stop saying, oh, this is beautiful. No, fit is fit. I have respect for Venus. I have respect for those two women because they went from whatever they went from having
they ain't never
nothing.
Go from where. No. Venus ain't never went from where.
No, she
Venus always
been.
Now,
yes,
Serena is another thing, but
yes.
Venus.
Serena always been.
Venus been thick, but she's thicker
she's
now than
thin,
she is.
But Venus,
Venus
has
really always been
be
a specimen.
Fit. Yeah, she's been fit. She's fit now. She was maybe.
But now, what about
like
Prince Felder? Prince Felder, I mean, what would you call that fit? Because he got a belly. He ain't got no six pack. Now Michael Phelps got a six pack. But I'm trying to go figure out which one I'm getting ready to go, which cover I'm going to buy because it won't be Venus's. But you know.
Well, Felder goes through what's called sports specific conditioning. Certain areas of his body he puts attention to. Certain areas
his
you
legs,
really don't
his
have
arms
to.
And his legs, his arms, and his thighs. Because his belly,
he
is not paying attention to.
That's why he can hit nearly a 500-foot home run.
Ooh, Larry Fitzgerald, NFL. My goodness. See, they don't need to put negative pictures on this. What happened? This is like pinup on steroids. Serge Ibaka, NBA.
No pun intended on steroids.
I'm serious, y'all.
I think it's a generational thing again, Tracy. Because if you go back to say the '85 Bears, guys like Jim McMahon, Walter Payton, they weren't that big, but they were one of the best teams ever.
Have you seen Serge Ibaka? I don't even know who Serge is until today. I found out a new Serge. My goodness.
He plays in the NBA.
I found that out. Wow.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, Tracy, this is what are you doing?
Turn that thing off.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's going on
here.
You
may need to shut your laptop.
Listen, every ESPN, they have like five or six covers, and you can buy certain covers based upon which cover you want to look at in full glory. And they got one, Marshall Lynch, NFL. My goodness. Michael Phelps.
But you're yelling at us for looking at
Marshall,
Venus.
Absolutely. They put them on here. I might as well. I'm just trying to tell you. You got the Bernard Hopkins, the boxer. He boxing in the news. I don't know who boxes in the news.
But, yeah, we're wrong for looking Venus. Why is that?
I don't know.
Well, because we're men?
Absolutely.
But you can look at whoever you want because you're
Omar Gonzalez playing soccer in the news. Who plays soccer in the news? Just trying to tell you. He ain't even got on the – I'm trying to tell you.
There's somewhere there's a nude soccer
– there's a nude soccer team going on somewhere. I'm just saying, y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand.
Nude soccer? What is the world come to?
Wait a minute, hold on. Don't forget it's Thomas. They got Thomas Burke. These people are specimens of muscle.
What?
Omar.
I want to talk about this nude soccer. What is that? That exists?
He's new playing soccer on the cover.
Somewhere there's somebody plays soccer nude.
That would hurt.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to say.
It could hurt.
It could hurt. I didn't see no rugby player in the news. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm just saying.
If any female callers out there, listeners, I wish they would call in and talk to Tracy, because she got a bunch of straight men on the line here. We like, what are you talking about?
Tracy's getting bombarded by men here on the phone and in the studio.
I'm going to have to play a buoy tune for her in a minute.
Wow. I'm just watching the look at the it's just the news. I'm just watching. I'm like you men do when you guys play out. I'm just reading the articles.
Yeah.
Stop. Don't do it.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I've got a few minutes before I take my break, but I got one more question to ask. Maybe I'll ask when I come back, because we're leading up to the top of the hour. I want to know, why is it that when women say something, it's bossy, and when men say something, it's assertive? Because last night at the gym, this major conversation was going on, and I watched men's faces go into a contortion. Like, what in the world are these girls talking about?
No, men are still considered bossy when we say – if we tell you to do something, we're still considered bossy. We're actually considered jerks.
That's what I meant by women, but not in the business sense.
In the business sense, you're still considered, I don't know. It depends on how you do it.
I'm Julio Flores with your head.
This is where officials with the Department of Homeland Security toured the old Terrell Middle School, considering it to possibly be a holding location for an unknown number of illegal immigrant children. No decision has been made yet for this location, but one resident who said her kids have gone without nothing, have had nothing for years, she says she is furious.
It's not right. Now billions of dollars want to be borrowed from the White House to help feed and house them. What the kids here in our country? Not just in this neighborhood, but in our country. All these kids, really? Why can't they go back? I'm sorry that the parents are in poor living conditions or surroundings or whatever's going on out there. I don't care. I care about what's going on right here in my own backyard, my neighborhood. Am I the only one in this community that I hear that watches the news this morning? Oh, my God. I feel alone right now in this, and I'm very saddened by it.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends on WFRM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, got a question for you. It's open mic today, so if you don't like it,
hey,
you can change it. Yeah, hold on.
Hold on.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm a married man, but I love that woman.
Me too.
I'm a teenager, and I'm single. I can say that I like her too.
But now hold on. Now Glenn Beck is getting ready to go down there with a trailer. He's getting ready to go back down there. Glenn Beck's getting ready to go down with a trailer and feed the people and clothe them and give them something to eat and some pillows and stuff. He said it's the right thing to do, and we got MSNBC, towering over him and saying this is a good idea. I'm just saying, because he said it's the Christ-like thing to do. Because these children are in a crisis, and we're using them for political advancement.
Yeah, that's what the president is doing. There's no doubt.
I'm lost. I'm behind.
What are you behind about?
No, about this. What you're talking about
here. Hold on. I'll give you the I've got to turn it back up. Turn it up.
Tractor trailers full of food, water, teddy bears, and soccer balls for undocumented children coming across the border. Here's what he said on the show yesterday.
This is a crisis. And anyone, left or right, seeking political gain at the expense of these desperate, vulnerable, poor, and suffering people are reprehensible. The fundamental transformation of America happens the minute you go cold inside. So, may I suggest we help the children? Through no fault of their own, they are caught in political crossfire. And while we continue to put pressure on Washington and change its course of lawlessness, we must also help. It is not an either-or. It is both. We have to be active in the political game, and we must open our heart.
Backlash from conservatives on Twitter and social media was swift. Beck admitted that he has never, quote, taken a position more deadly to my career than this. I'm surprised there's backlash to bringing toys to kids, Joe, but I guess that's what happens.
Well, a lot of people are saying that he's actually playing into Barack Obama's hands, that he's playing by Obama's handbook. He's actually playing by another person's handbook, Jesus' handbook. I mean, this is, you know, Jesus was very clear. He said, the people that are blessed are those that understand, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I needed clothing, and you gave me clothes. What Glenn Beck is doing is the most Christ-like thing anybody could do. And so for a lot of people on the right who may call themselves Christians to attack Glenn Beck for doing exactly what Jesus says a Christian has to do, which is to be the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that he is sending down tractor trailer loads full of food and clothes and toys and soccer balls to these poor children, despite the fact he opposes the type of immigration reform the president's pushing right now, makes it an even more noble gesture. I mean, Harold Ford, I saw your political commercials. I know that you hung out in the church a lot in pews. it makes him like a good Samaritan for doing this, despite the fact he's on the other side on the political issue.
I salute him for doing it, but I think it also exposes a bit of hypocrisy on the side of those who claim that morality and that their faith and perhaps Christianity guides them in many ways, and yet one of their leaders in this movement, Glenn Beck, I think not only takes a courageous stand, but the right stand about how to treat these children.
All right.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
You
hadn't heard that.
I had not heard that.
It's all the rage.
I saw him make the statement yesterday.
Did you hear the MSNBC
no,
embrace of
it?
Yeah, it's all the rave right now. And I've got a question to ask you guys.
What?
Glenn Beck, right or wrong? One at a time.
Nobody votes for Glenn Beck.
AJ, I'll let you go first.
Is he right by doing what he's doing?
Yes.
Yes.
Republicans, right or wrong, for demonizing?
No. I think
They're right or wrong? Right.
I think they're wrong for demonizing him.
Okay, Jeff?
Absolutely, he's right. Glenn Beck is right. And the Republicans are wrong. And the Republicans, you stupid butts, wake up. He just gave you exactly what should be happening.
Right.
That the people, the civilians of this country, the church, everybody that can raise and muster a dime should be down on that border giving these kids water and food.
As we prepare to send them home.
As we send them home and keeping them there and helping them clean up that little area till we send them back to Guatemala. Because
it's
not the government that should be doing it. That's the case.
I mean,
and that's Glenn Beck was very smart in it.
Republicans look bad, or does it make us look good? Because Glenn Beck is doing the right thing, but at the same time, it's making the Republicans look bad by.
No, see, we demonize Glenn Beck. I mean, they're shooting. We're going off on Glenn Beck.
Right.
He stole something.
Why don't you get to the heart of the
because
problem?
He's not singing the same song as everyone else.
Right.
And you know,
what's the big deal? Why
conservatives
I don't get it. What's the big deal that he's doing this?
This is one of those times when we need to be able to get into, the leadership.
Sitting down at the table again?
No. Tell him.
Tracy.
Beck is giving you a very key point. You're sending stuff down there with a civilian. He's not a government official. He's not using government money. He's using his money and sending a tractor trailer load full of stuff. One guy.
Yeah.
So what about if 20 guys could do this and help these people? And then till we process them out and get them back to their mothers and fathers in their country.
Eric, what do you think?
Hey, Tracy. I feel that Glenn Beck is absolutely right. He's absolutely right in what he's doing. And I wish liberals would wake up and realize that is what true conservatism is. We don't want to put y'all back in chains. We are willing to help anybody.
That's a good point.
Hey, Tracy.
That's a good point. Yeah, Bianchi.
Very good point.
You know, really, I like what he's doing, and I agree they should be sent back. But let's look at what caused them to come up here in the first floor. Let's attack the farm programs that we have here in this country where you subsidize in major agriculture companies like ConAg and Archer Daniel Mitchell, where you subsidize their growth where they can dump products down into the southern border, beyond the southern borders, where you – you stifle the farmers there where they can't compete. Then they have to get rid of all their health, and they end up here. And also look at programs like Fast and Furious that put weapons down there in the hands of those people that's causing all the mayhem. That's one of the reasons these people are coming up here, and they're saying because of all of that. So let's look at this in a complete view.
But the thing is, we won't acknowledge Fast and Furious. See, the problem is we don't understand that all this little roadmap. As you know, on Facebook, we call it a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
This little timeline is causing what's going on, and we have a lot to do with it, including the kids coming up here.
Yeah.
And we don't want to acknowledge that.
And then farm subsidy programs where those migrant workers, illegal immigrants, come up and work on those farms who are located in states where minimum wage does not apply to their activity.
That's true. That's true, because I was talking to Sticks the other day. He said if you're in agriculture, you don't have minimum wage.
Yeah, my dad is a farmer. Well, he works for a farm. He isn't a farmer himself. He works for a very very big crop farm.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make minimum wage.
But they don't have a minimum wage. They understand.
I have no idea. I worked at that farm for about a year.
They make about $15, about $10 an hour, $9 an hour.
My dad won't tell me how much he makes, but I know he does not make minimum wage.
Well, that's good.
He says that's that's mine and your mom's business, not yours.
Very good.
I worked there for a year, only a year because I come to realize I'm not a farm boy. I did not. I enjoyed some of what I did, but come to realize I was not meant. That job was not meant for me.
So you need to go get education,
but,
right?
Exactly. Right. Oh, yeah. And when I did work there for a year, I think it was my freshman year of high school I worked there, they set up – I got paid over the table, but I got paid straight $8 an hour. So I think it's because it's family-owned.
They have less rules.
Right, but I still got paid over the table because people were like, oh, you make $8 an hour, that means you get paid under the table. No. I still got a regular paycheck, and I still pay taxes.
Right.
So I don't know. I have no idea if they do have.
No, it depends. It depends. I don't want to go through the conversation. My conversation is really about the immigrants down the bottom.
Right.
And,
I understand
and
that.
And kids coming over here, and those children that are coming over here, they do deserve to be treated with respect and dignity as we prepare to send them back. But the demonizing of Glenn Beck because he decided to do that
is ridiculous.
Right.
That's and
And why the Republican Party, and let me say, and when I say this, the party is a little bit different than the people.
Right.
Because you haven't heard anything from Rice Priebus.
No.
These are people that call themselves Republican. These are people that call themselves, and then President Obama asking for, I think, $3.7 billion, which is almost $4 billion.
My goodness.
To aid in the deportation of these people.
He's asking for that money from the taxpayers?
The taxpayers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the young lady who was saying that, you know, she said some colorful superlative words along the way that they had to bleep out. That, you know, you haven't done anything for the people that are here. So how are you going to send and ask Congress for $4 billion and you are not doing anything for mine?
Right.
Right.
I agree on that.
I think the best point is, and what she was saying is that government can't fix the problem. It's just, that's just as simple as that.
That's true.
That's what Beck is doing. Beck is trying to show them, and the Republicans reacted just wrong because they want to eat their own and don't want to let him get on, but he's been telling the truth all this time.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
Well, I tell you, I think Glenn Beck is 100% right in what he's doing, and he's doing it from a ministry approach, using a ministry approach, and matter of fact, the Obama administration and anybody else that is saying that this is wrong, or any Republican detractor saying this is wrong, they need to have their hands spanked. Every one of them need to go and tell their churches they need to be offering up some type of assistance during this, you know, this crisis. But they're too busy. They're too busy trying to do other things and make themselves look good. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I can't
say too much about it.
And I agree with that. I mean, I'm very, very disheartened by the attack. But I think that we need to look at and I like the privacy part of it. I didn't even think about him being a private citizen doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But then my problem that I also have is I've been watching some of these newscasters, especially this morning. I did pay attention to watching them rewrite history.
Oh, absolutely.
Because go ahead, Eric.
And I just want to say, it also shows the hypocrisy from the left. I mean, you get all these Hollywood celebrities. What have they done? How many truckloads have they sent down there with food and toys and, you know, soccer balls, football, basketball?
They ain't sending that down there. They ain't got time for that.
No, their job is hard like a combat.
No, they got to help out President Obama, because right now, as they write history, because they were saying that during the inauguration of the president, Republican leaders got together and tried to figure out a way to make sure that this man's agenda did not get moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very, very far from the truth, because I guess there's a book that's coming out about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they fail to realize that President Obama is the one who said elections have consequences, because they're trying to say that he came in the door and all he wanted to do was work with Republicans and nobody wanted to work with him.
That's
very, very disingenuous of what really, really happened.
Yeah.
And so the media has taken this comment and they've rewritten history and they've run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been farther from the truth.
What they're saying is a little bit true, but here's the thing. Republicans won't work with him because President Obama is saying this: either you do it my way or it's no way. And if you don't do it my way, you're being an obstructionist. That's the problem that's what the media is not saying.
It is. Like saying, help me fix this car so we can drive it over a cliff. No, thank you.
And I agree, because I agree with that, and I want to make sure that Stanley gets in. Because they're trying to make this into a oh, woe is me, you hurt me so bad. Which is not. And let me take your call when I come back. Let me take my break. I'll be right back.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with...
You're right, Alabama. Hey, man, how about standing in front of this car while I test the accelerator?
This is Eric down in Ohio, up in Ohio, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that, you see what I'm saying, man? I mean, why would you ask, just like saying, hit on the drunk? I know you've been drinking too much, man, but here, take the car keys, you know?
I don't quite get it. I do not quite get it.
You have to understand that
the way you see America and the way we see America is two different things. The way he truly believes what he believes, a lot of people believe what he believes. And I'm sorry to say the Republicans did do some stuff that they say, we are going to make sure that he's a one-term president. We're going to make sure this and that. And that's a fact. So when you're all sitting down and acting like, oh, President Obama didn't do that, you weren't there in the meeting. And I would bet you $100 that if you were, wait, let me just finish. I would bet you $100 if you were there in the meeting and you would tape recorded it, you would be surprised if Republicans say, it's either our ways, Mr. President, or we're not doing anything. I'm sure you would hear that too.
Here's the thing that we do know. We do know this, that the IRS made sure that certain organizations were targeted in order to make sure that he stayed in office. Now we do know that. So that
we do.
That dog bites both ways.
Mm-hmm. And we know that Republican were there in the restaurant just before after he got elected, and they were all there privately saying that we're going to make sure he's a one-term president. We know that too.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry. There is a lot of things wrong with that when you have that. That is a fact.
Anybody that knows anything about a little bit of IT knows that emails don't disappear.
You got that right.
Yeah. Do we forget that what happened with Ted when he did his famous speech for almost hours and days and almost blocked the government and everything? Do we forget about that? That wasn't Democrat. That was Republican that was doing that. Do we forget about that?
No.
So you make it sound like the
politics.
Republican were like UPIA. We're the people. We're for the people. Come on, people. Really, Republican or for the people?
You keep saying Republican, man. Those guys are not conservative. I'm talking about true conservatism, Stan.
What's true conservative? You pick and choose.
You're,
what's
John
true conservative?
Not,
you say that person's
not conservative.
That person's not conservative. What's true conservative? You pick and choose.
That's true conservatism. That's helping. That's saying screw the politics. Let's go down there and feed these people. They need food, clothing, shelter, books. They need to learn how to get read. Some of them know how to read. They're going to be here. They need to learn how to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's being charitable. That's showing faith, hope, and charity. Screw the
yeah.
government trying to dilly-dally stuff out because they can't do it.
But you're picking and choosing because as soon as I bring a Republican that did wrong, you tell me he's not a true conservative and say saying he did wrong, and he is a conservative. Because I'm sure he has the same policy, the same thing as you. Because when he does right, you're like, oh, that's a conservative. You can't have it both ways. You can't have
the
whole way.
I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about what's going on with the border. Where are all your liberal friends? Where are the truckloads of supplies are sending down there? They're telling me that I need to send my tax bill. That's what they're doing. They're going on TV telling me that I should go with the president. Let's send $327 billion down there because after all, it's not our money. It's yours.
I don't agree with that philosophy. I agree with what Blank Glenn Beck did. I agree with the woman and everything.
Yeah.
We should take care of our own. I always told you that. I don't agree that but I told you that many times. I told you that I wish we would take all the people around the world, the army, we would stick all that money and spending back on us and have it build America stronger. I've always believed that. Always did.
But in order to build America stronger, you got to have the policies that will build America stronger. You can't take money out of one man's pocket and put it in another man's pocket. You can't do that.
Yes, but you can't have wars around the world and act like you are doing something around the world where you're not even taking care of your own. You have to take care of your own
first. Here's the thing, Stanley. When you say taking care of your own, from what I've seen throughout history, that means you're going to take the money out of my pocket and give it to somebody else. Redistribution of wealth. That's the difference.
No, taking care of your own, let me make it clear. Taking care of your own is changing the whole philosophy when it comes to people. Taking care of your own is having people make them believe that if you want to make whatever money you can do it, do it. Taking care of your own is stop having the slave mentality that we have that people are having jobs. Taking care of your own is making people believe that if you want to work this, you will make worth this. Taking care of your own
That's
is telling to the boss.
How many years,
you are not the person
doing
who built
that.
The whole industry.
We have, Stanley. That's what conservatives have been doing for years.
For years.
The problem
yeah.
is the liberal has said that is wrong. That's being mean, hateful, and nasty when you tell a man to get up off his bonkers and go out and find him a job and work. No, no, that's wrong. That's being mean and hateful. But no,
yeah,
they want
enough jobs.
To tell people to sit on their butts and I'll take care of you. That's why they destroy. That's why they destroy the black family. Matter of fact, they didn't just destroy the black family. They destroyed the American family.
They did. They sure did.
They
that's exactly what they did.
No, I don't think they destroyed.
And that's the big difference. That's the difference. When I say that's what conservatives do.
I don't agree. Conservatives are more for rich people keeping their taxes. Conservatives are more for, oh, let's make sure the taxes are for the rich are the
yeah.
less and everything
that's
because
exactly.
they're the creators.
Exactly.
They're the
exactly.
taxes were not
I want
set up to take care of people. Taxes were set up to fund roads work, fire trucks, police. That's what taxes are meant for. They're not meant to help to take care of people. They were never set up for that.
Yeah, but they were not set up also that somebody who's working and everything to the or is worth half of the population of the poor. Come on, it's not worded up like that. Come on.
I 5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
She goes away. Wonder this time.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it's 7 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. I brought up the issue going on down at the border and some things that happened with... Glenn Beck, he had made comments on his show yesterday that he was going to start taking food and toys and shelter and clothing down to the children that have come up illegally. They're actually illegal immigrants who have been brought up here, and it is proposed that they've been brought up here by the left or the left agenda, the progressive agenda, to skew and or to reshape the voting patterns of America. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want to throw this in also. If this be true, and we're always talking about voting patterns, how important is voting to America, and why won't people really understand that their vote does count? Because you still have millions of Americans who do not participate in the process, yet you have people who are coming in, and they're getting ready to participate in the process and getting ready to shape your country and shape your future based upon their knowledge and based upon your ignorance. Yeah, AJ?
I was just raising my hand to say that's me. I'll be voting in my first election in November when for governor.
Did you vote in the primary?
I didn't. I
you
was,
could have.
The primary was in March, wasn't it?
Yes, but you could have.
My birthday was in April.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
As long as you turn, you were allowed to vote in the primary as long as you could. We were legal age in November.
Before November, right.
Well, I did not vote in the primary, but I will be voting in November for the
very
first
good.
Time. Very good. I'm very excited.
Very good. But people don't know what is available to them. People who are if you're turning 18 in November, you can vote in the primary,
right.
even at 17.
Right. I didn't know that.
But I will say this. People do not understand, and right now we are really basing our we're not paying attention to the borders, and we demonize the man who's trying to feed the people, and he's a private citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also have to say, go back to what I was saying about MSNBC and people rewriting history. They said something this morning that was so very, very untrue. They said, see, we always get our media and our government twisted.
Mm-hmm.
They like getting it twisted. They like saying that when Rush Limbaugh says something, they attribute it to the whole Republican Party. When SNL says
yeah.
something, they attribute it to all of the idea. Sarah Palin did not say she could see Alaska from her house.
Mm-hmm.
SNL did. Rush Limbaugh is the one who said he will do everything in his power to make sure that the policies of Barack Obama fail. It was not the Republican establishment.
Mm-hmm.
But they've rewritten history to make it so. That it was a part of the infrastructure, and it was not. And people are ignorant to watch what's on television and to watch what's on the media
right.
and not pay attention to what is actually being said by the establishment.
Why do they go for this? Because We had a meeting last year with the RNC,
yeah,
and we voiced this concern that then whenever these people throw these lies up, there is no rebuttal to them.
Because they have a problem with listening to, because they believe, and this is what I, this is my problem. This is my problem with the Republican Party at large. Mm-hmm. So whoever's out there, listen to what I'm saying. They're just like any other men. They believe what they believe and that they're always right and don't listen to other people,
mm-hmm,
because they're not where they are.
Here's this was an interview back in 2009 with Rush, when you, what you just said about, you know, Rush said that, not the Republican Party. Rush was asked in that interview, are you the leader of the Republican Party? And Rush said, I am not the leader of the Republican Party. I don't want to be the leader of the Republican Party. He said, these people think that they can demonize the Republican Party by making me the leader of them. He goes, I am not the leader of the Republican Party. So even himself knows that people out there will try and demonize the Republican Party by putting Rush as the leader.
But let me say this,
because of everything that he said.
You have to understand, remember, Michael Steele's demise came behind a comment that he made about Rush Limbaugh.
True. Well, he's the number one median by which the party can get their platform and stuff out. So it doesn't make him the – those aren't raisins. Okay. I was hoping they were raisins. Anyway, he can get their message out, but he's not part of the party because he's
right.
He's not
even a politician.
But the problem is people take his word as golden. He doesn't take responsibility for what comes out of his mouth.
Okay.
Right. But what about people like, what's his name, on, John Stewart? Yeah, on Comedy Central.
It's going to come back and bite them in the butt eventually.
Is he the leader of the Democrats? Is John, is,
yes,
that his name, John Stewart? Yeah.
John Stewart.
Is he the leader of the Democrats?
Yes.
But that's like us saying that Rush is the leader of the Republicans.
No.
Why? They're both in the media. They're not even politicians.
So
John Stewart was an actor at one point.
For what?
They're not leaders of those parties.
Yeah, they are. Because they have influence over millions.
Well, that's,
I can agree
that way,
on that
that's,
one.
They
have influence over
true.
Millions, and because they have influence over millions, and they're not always responsible for what they say,
mm-hmm,
it makes them in a leadership position even if they don't lead.
Okay, I can agree with that.
And there are a lot of people who are in leadership positions, and they lead people astray because of their lack of leadership,
mm-hmm,
and I think that's a problem. 617, your mic is on. Good morning.
Trace.
Yes.
Rush Limbaugh is an entertainer. If
I know that. You know that.
If people don't know the difference between entertainment and factual information, then what do you say about the people in general?
Well, let me tell you what, it makes them ignorant.
No, it doesn't.
What?
Hey, Tracy.
No, it doesn't. Rush Limbaugh is very, very factual, and that's the problem.
No, that's not true.
Rush is a mix of being an entertainer, but at the same time giving facts.
He gives facts and fiction at the same time.
Right. He has like a there's a term for that.
Tell me something he's done.
When he had hold on Eric, hold on, because I got to prove this to Jeff.
Yeah,
because,
you sure do.
Because Jeff is from the Show Me State. When he told everyone to go out and vote for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama in the primary, change parties. You remember
okay.
that?
Yeah.
And people did.
Okay.
What did he do?
Nothing.
No. What did he do to the party infrastructure of a lot of parties across the country?
He was.
What did he do? No. You said factual. Factual does not make you change a party to play a game of a strategy, because what happens to the infrastructure, because what happened here in Mahoning County is we had precinct committee people.
Okay.
Who changed parties.
Because of what?
Because
well, that's
hold
not
on.
Fiction.
No, that is fiction. Because
no.
What because they changed parties because of the lack of understanding of both Rush
okay.
as well as them. So hold on. They changed parties. They were no longer precinct committee people. And if you do not have a primary in the next year, you remain the party that you're in. So when it came back for re-election in the following year, for them to go back to become precinct committee people and to deal with the infrastructure of the party, they could no longer run
once
because they were Democrats.
Once again, your words are incorrect if you're going to say that he is incorrect in something. He doesn't speak fiction. He gave you the truth, and people, he was being facetious to the most thing, and in doing what he did. But you know, and Glenn Beck did the same thing. he told everybody to you know, vote. The election day was the day after what it was, and he had a big cherry.
And so you told him that was truth.
That's not truth. That's nothing. That is neither truth nor a lie.
But you have people that hang on every word of these people.
It's okay, because
and if you don't speak truth, you have to take responsibility. Even if I'm playing with you and I yell fire in a crowded room, go to jail. It's not right.
Well, you're not yelling fire.
He didn't yell fire.
No, those people were just stupid because they didn't understand that he was joking, and
Russ was not joking when he was saying to go and vote in another party.
Okay.
It was a strategy, and he wanted to see what it was going to do, and he was not responsible, and it was a lie.
Once again, it's not a lie. That's not a lie. A lie is when you deceive somebody on purpose. He didn't deceive anybody. Okay, this is what I'm saying. Your words have to not be a certain way, because these people are super accurate. Glenn Beck, super accurate. And the thing is, I'm not telling you that there aren't some negatives about Rush Limbaugh. There's negatives. There's some things he doesn't know about. One thing is about the black community. He does not understand or know anything about it. However, when he comes to his political banterings, he's absolutely correct. Find something he said that was wrong. That's my point. So, where I may not be the greatest fan of everything he says, but the thing is he does not lie on the radio.
Yeah.
But he doesn't always give facts.
He always gives facts.
He doesn't always give facts.
He gives facts.
He gives facts according to his belief.
No,
go ahead, Eric.
No, that's not true.
Okay,
you
yes.
don't listen to him.
Yes,
I've listened to him from the beginning he was on.
Listen, you've listened to him for years, and I understand
yes.
that. But what I'm saying is, when he comes out, there is a lot. He is a shock jock in talk radio.
Totally disagree.
Now there's a lot of truth that he says, and I'm not saying that he lies every day. I'm not saying that he tells unfactual facts every day. I'm not saying that But what I'm saying is, according to his opinion and the power that he has, he is very, very irresponsible at times when it comes to his power.
I got you.
And yes, Eric.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the Glenn Beck thing. Another reason I like what he's doing is because he's going to put the government on the spot. Because right now, they're not allowing cameras inside these facilities. But now, when he shows up with all these supplies, he's going to force their hand.
I like that, too.
That's absolutely true. That's why I say I like Glenn Beck, and I liked him. I was very shocked that Fox took him off of TV. But they tell me it wasn't necessarily them that did it, but it didn't matter. Glenn Beck had so much money, he built his own network.
And sometimes it was great that he did. And hopefully,
sure is.
And again, but the thing that when people say things, whether it be Glenn Beck or whether it be Rush Limbaugh or whether it be Tracy and friends, no matter who it is, you need to go and research it and go think it through yourself. These things should be reasons to make you think, not reasons to make you act.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what infuriates me most. We follow people, but we don't think on our own because we're lazy. And we shouldn't be lazy when it comes to what other people say. Form your own opinions based upon the facts that you go and research and that you go and read. Don't follow a man just because you like him and you believe what they say or you have the same ideology.
I think it's a mix of both, Tracy, because you have to find your own facts. But at the same time, you want to listen to other people, what they have to say. And sometimes, you know, whoever that person is, they're going to agree with you. Or they're not going to agree with you. You shouldn't base your opinion off of someone else's opinion. and just kind of be a yes man.
And people do.
But at the same time, it needs to be a mix of both, in my opinion. You need to form your own opinion. And I've been told that since, you know, I was raised on that. You know, form your own opinion. Don't be a yes man to someone else. But at the same time, you should still listen to people like Rush, Glenn Beck. Because they are probably thinking the same way that you're thinking. But it's wrong to it's wrong to base your opinion off of anything they say. And that's, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people, is that they think, oh, Rush said that. Okay, that's right. Yeah, no, no matter what. Or it's just, you know, John Stewart, you know, said that. That's right, of course.
What would make you go and change? What would make you go find out because somebody said that that made your voting day, you change your vote? What makes you do not think on your own, research on your own, and act upon something?
Wait, what makes you not want to do that?
Did you hear when he presented it?
Which one?
The thing where they went over and voted for
yes,
Hillary.
Yes.
Okay. If you heard what he was saying, he said exactly what he meant. And the thing is, his party officials, a precinct committee, it was stupid for them to do it. But if somebody wanted to take part in his experiment that he wanted to do, they could have done it.
And they did.
And they did. But the thing is your precinct committee people did, which was stupid.
There were people across the country. They weren't paying attention. It sounded like a good thing to do because they didn't want this thing to happen. They wanted something to happen. They wanted it to go their way, and what they did. And they just didn't realize, they didn't know that we weren't going to be able to change back when they chose to. Every state was different, and it really upset, and it could have and did cause a lot of good people to lose great leadership. Go ahead, Eric. I think that was you. No, South Carolina. Okay.
No, Tracy, I'm muted. I was listening.
Okay. I'm just saying, did you have anything to say? Because I have a problem with that. I have a problem when we don't think.
Well, anyway, it just happened in Mississippi on the other side.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And so in Mississippi.
So was that right or wrong?
Well, it was wrong.
Was it
a
lie?
No.
Was it deceiving?
Yes, very deceiving.
Okay, what's the difference between deceiving and a lie?
Rush didn't deceive anybody. He told them what he was intending to do, and he didn't make up a story for it. They made up a story that the Tea Party candidate was going to take your programs, the early lunch, early breakfast, and food stamps. That's what the difference is. Rush didn't do that, nothing like that. He said, if you want to really upset the apple cart, this and another, some of you might want to consider.
Some of you?
Some of you might consider voting against or voting for Hillary Clinton, I guess. So that's what happened. It wasn't like it was something I can't explain it to you. Because, like I said, let me read something real quick. When Rush Limbaugh suggested voting against Senator Obama in 2008's Dem primary, it was in response to what the liberals were already doing to undermine the Republican primary process by pushing Senator McCain, which I absolutely agree with.
Okay.
Because they knew they could beat McCain like a rug.
Okay.
And so therefore.
So Bill says that. Bill sent that over on Facebook. Yeah. So tell me, what does that say?
That says, period, that he was saying, if any of you want to try it, you have to look at how he couched it. Now, see, here's the thing. I fully observed this person. I fully observed their show, all of this stuff.
So you agree with what he's done?
No, I don't agree with it. I didn't agree with that at that time. But the thing is I thought it was funny. And that's what he was doing. But my point is...
And what I'm saying, okay, it was funny.
Yeah, but it caused... But people take things so seriously, period, on
and
either
so,
side.
So would you agree that this man needs to take responsibility for what he said?
No,
let me...
No,
let me. So he doesn't have to take responsibility for what he
said. No, not like that, because he wasn't irresponsible.
In the position that he's in, knowing that people hang on his every word.
No.
Okay.
No, because it's all
different. I pray that as we grow, we always understand that what we do in this box, that we will always be up front, because if people are going to hang on our every word, that we are always responsible, because we would hate for anybody to be damned at the end on a joke and or a hypothesis that we want to prove in the process.
You do it all the time when you play the devil's advocate thought, and you say, oh, no, it doesn't matter. You know, it's good. You know, this kind of that's the same type of thing that happened there. It wasn't Rush trying to. You're taking the left the left demonizing of him. That's not what he did, and that's my point. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to be such a defender of Rush right here, but this that's not what happened. It just wasn't what happened the way you're trying to color it. He didn't do it trying to hurt somebody.
He didn't do it maliciously, but what he did was it was irresponsible.
I think the same thing. Were irresponsible.
It was irresponsible. There are some things that we do, just like when you tell people to go vote on a different day.
Yeah.
It's irresponsible.
I thought it was funny.
See, everything ain't a joke. It's irresponsible because we have, as media, we demonize the left for them being disingenuous and rewriting history, but we come back and do things that are irresponsible. So they're going to tell me that I'm going to suppress the vote, and we go out and tell people to vote on a different day. And yes, people are ignorant enough to go out and do it.
Well, I'm
sorry. Like they really didn't know that Tuesday was the day. And we tell people, well, they moved the day to Wednesday. Oh, wow, they moved the day to Wednesday. I ain't got to go on Tuesday. Come on. We know people are as dumb as a cluck.
I'm sorry. I agree with the ability of the person that's out there in the media to say and suggest things and make their points with a ridiculous thing by humor. I'm sorry, but
that's not humor.
That is too humor.
That's not humor.
Oh, that was hilarious humor.
That's not hilarious humor.
No, because what happened in South Carolina, Mississippi, was not.
That was
humor.
Funny.
It was funny, it wasn't humor because they lied.
Neither one of them was humorous. When you manipulate people like that, it doesn't make for a good democracy. It does not make good for a good America. And you don't exploit the ignorance of people. What you should be doing is trying to educate them and cultivate them so that they can grow.
They won't listen to you because
you don't have to let them listen to you. There's other ways to skin the cat.
Well, then you tell me what somebody that makes as much money as these guys makes.
The same way that we're talking about the RNC, and I'm telling you what I told you during the break that I will not say out loud right now. What I told you during the break, because we sit back on our laurels and try to do the same thing the same old way and wonder why we don't get different results, which is totally insanity.
Right.
But if other people can reshape ways to get their message out, even if it's lies, we ought to be able to get our message out and tell the truth. We'll be right back.
Do you chronically suffer from a weak immune system? Do you easily get upper respiratory infections, the flu, or a cold during the winter season? Consider Defense Forte and C1000 with bioflavonoids. Our drugless prescriptions are designed to be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these health problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Julio Flores with your headline news. A Struthers woman is going to prison for a drunk driving accident that claimed the life of a 20-year-old Youngstown woman in 2012. 49-year-old Jill Bissett pleaded guilty in May to aggravated vehicular homicide and driving under the influence. On Thursday, a judge sentenced her to 5 years in prison. Investigators say Bissett was driving drunk when her car struck a motorcycle being driven by Tammy Miller on State Route 289 in Polden Township. State agents and local police executed search warrants at three locations on Thursday, including a Youngstown towing company, as part of an investigation into allegations that include compelling prostitution. Youngstown police and agents from the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation searched the main office at Bugnose Towing, as well as a storage facility owned by Bugnose on Garland Avenue. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Consider this your personal invitation to join Legacy Financial Strategies for a very special workshop, how to protect your assets and have a tax-free retirement. This very special workshop will have a special speaker, Tim Seckler. Tim is an estate planning attorney specializing in asset protection. Also scheduled to speak, David Gallner and Sherry Marini of the Legacy Financial Strategies Radio Network. They'll be speaking on how to have a tax-free retirement. This very special workshop is at Butler Community College, July 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Again, July 15th, Butler Community College, from 6 to 8 p.m. Call Legacy Financial Strategies now to reserve your seat at 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. Call now. Sign up today so you can protect your assets and have a tax-free retirement with Legacy Financial Strategies.
The Cumulus Health Club and Washington Square Healthcare present today's health tip. If you're a veteran, getting the health care you need can be confusing, but there are resources available to help you get the benefits you deserve. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs website has a complete list of VA health care providers and detailed information on the benefits and services available to you. The website also includes a job bank specifically for veterans. Visit the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs website at va.gov. That's va.gov.
If you're a veteran that needs nursing care, you don't have to give up your pension, your Social Security, or any other income. At Washington Square, you keep what's yours. Washington Square is the only veteran service provider in Trumbull County and can provide short-term rehab or long-term nursing care close to home. Stop in or call today for these benefits. Or visit WashingtonSquareHealthcare.com for more info. That's WashingtonSquareHealthcare.com.
This is Becky Wall from Deering Compressor. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Then we may be looking for you. We continue to grow here at Deering, and we are searching for talented, trained individuals to fill our wide range of positions, from entry-level to quality inspectors, machine assemblers, and certified welders. Deering Compressor is proud to support the area's local education and training centers that have developed programs and degrees to prepare our local workforce for the jobs of the future.
This is Derek Hart, General Manager of Staff Right Services. We excel in providing recruitment and placement for a wide range of skilled job candidates on a temporary, temp-to-hire, or direct-hire basis. When businesses need assistance finding reliable employees or individuals need help finding a steady job, they turn to us. To learn more about how StaffRight can help you, visit us online at staffrightservices.com.
Deering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work. Check us out at DeeringComp, that's DeeringComp.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 36 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and the number, again, is 347-945-5229. It's open mic. I want to thank Jeff and AJ for being here today. AJ, it's been a couple of weeks since you've been in.
I know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I missed you.
No, you haven't.
Oh, of course
you
I did.
You went on vacation. You did all that kind of stuff.
Well, I
What's
texted
a vacation?
You.
Huh?
What's a vacation?
I don't know.
I texted you and said, you wouldn't have a 4th of July show, did you? And you said, no, we're off. And I was like, well, there's another week I'll be gone.
Sorry.
So
if you thought I was coming in here because you wanted to go talk on the radio, everybody's crazy. That's not happening. Sorry.
Will somebody please tell me what a vacation is?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. I don't know either. I heard people say I'm going on a...
But you know, you can always do
a
staycation, Jeff.
What is a staycation?
A staycation is when you take time off just for your family and friends.
Take time off of what?
Everything that you do normally.
There's no such thing as that. What
but
you
have to make time. If you don't,
No. You can't do
listen,
that.
No, listen. I'm reading a book called The One Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very insightful book. And we have to realize if you don't decompress and take time off, you will never be on your master game. And so even when you think that you're doing something, if you don't take time off for just you and things and relax your mind and relax yourself and take everything out, you will always be not running at your optimum.
What
That's
am I
true.
Taking time off of?
Whatever you do, whether it be radio, whether it be band, whether it be work, whether it be running, you take time off and you spend it rejuvenating. Everyone needs to have that time. And if you don't take the time, you lose.
You go crazy.
Because you never refocus.
Then it must be too late.
Sometimes.
Say, Jeff, you're pretty crazy, so maybe that's
it must be. It
but
must
you
be
need,
too
but
late.
But everyone needs to reset.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a computer, you need to have the reset button. You hit it every now and then, even when you keep your PC or laptop or your phone or whatever. And sometimes your phone will just stay there,
mm-hmm.
and you have to just stop it, take the battery out, and let it sit down for a minute and
that's
cool
hard.
Off.
That's hard.
Hey, that's what you got to do. Hey, not so blind Mike, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing excellent. Let me help Brother Jeff out here. Jeff, here's what a definition of a vacation is. It's this thing that obnoxious white folks go on so that they can snap their fingers at minority people when they think what they want isn't coming fast enough.
Mike, definition of a vacation. Mike,
that is so politically incorrect, isn't it? I would only say that to the two of you because you know how I find
it. Hold on,
so
you would only say that to the two of us. Yet
of course,
you say it on radio, and like
oh,
no one else hears to the world, and no one else hears you. Okay, just
well, there
so
goes
I'm
your
getting
rating
straight
through the sky. Everybody wanting to find me and do me in, but no, it's you know it's like I understand being blind. You know I don't. Make eye contact, so, you know, I have to learn patience and wait so people come by, you know. So I just find that kind of snap their fingers, I can buy or sell you attitude, I find that so friggin' obnoxious. There have been countries I've been in around the world and stuff, and even places here in the United States where I won't admit I'm an American because of some of this behavior I've seen overseas and stuff. It's just like, geez, you know. Of course, now you don't admit you're an American for a different reason, but anyway.
So now, are you obedient to talk radio?
Am I obedient on talk radio?
No, are you obedient to talk radio? So whatever we say as talk show hosts, you just go out and do? Are you one of those people?
That's it. Yes, I'm totally mindless. It's like if you know, that's why if you ever hear that I went postal, it's because some person on talk radio told me to do that, I'm sure, you know.
That's my point.
Thank you. You know, some popular, well-spoken, outspoken black angry woman with attitude or whatever that phrase is you use, probably told me to go out there and do some men in who did her wrong, and I just took up the cause and said, yes, my Führer.
you know what's so crazy about this? I listened to him, Rush, ever since he came on.
Yeah.
And the thing is well, I mean, I'm probably about an 80%er with him. As far as what I agree with and disagree with. Mm-hmm. I understood what he was saying, and I didn't have a problem with what he said about, you know, about the primary. But it's funny that, you know, that people want to give him all of these accolades, but then at the same time say he's just an entertainer.
But hold on. Okay, let's
not
go.
Just
can I go back? Can I go
well,
back?
I agree with
Let
that.
Me say
yeah,
this.
We,
can you really go back to, can we go back to the chairman of the RNC, Michael Steele?
Ooh,
Michael
yeah.
Steele got into a pee contest
yeah.
with D.L. Hughley
mm-hmm.
on a comedian who was trying to be a news commentator.
Still is.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back, slapped Michael Steele in the face with Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Steele goes after Rush Limbaugh, and Michael Steele loses his job.
Well, mm-hmm. Michael Steele had no business losing his cool talking to an idiot like
he should never been there.
Michael
Steele forgot that not all liberals are going to take him serious. One,
right.
But secondly, overall, he said something about Rush Limbaugh, and the next thing we knew, he couldn't raise a dime. They went after him. They went after him for stuff. They've been taking people to nightclubs all year long. They've been seeing gentlemen bars and smoking cigars and getting drunk and doing all they wanted to, but now they went after Michael Steele and took that which he was the first at.
That's right.
Because of his comment to a Rush Limbaugh. Now, who was the leader of the party then? Was it Michael Steele or was it Rush?
It was Michael Steele, but the thing is Michael Steele failed to realize that one of his greatest tools and weapons was Rush Limbaugh. Now,
right.
if he's going to sit there and which I thought it was very apt that they went after him on that. This is foolish of you, Michael Steele.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you don't attack the major mouthpiece that you have to run disseminate information through.
Right.
But,
and Michael Steele.
But again, you have to understand Rush Limbaugh has influence. And because of his influence, it makes him a leader. And because of his leadership, he needs to take responsibility for what he does. Go ahead, AJ.
He's not necessarily a leader because, yes, he tries to separate himself from the Republican Party by saying, I'm not the leader of the Republican Party. Don't try and make me a leader.
Mm-hmm.
If he was a leader, that means that we would look to him as like we would look to the president. You have a choice whether you want to listen to Rush or not. And you have a choice. And Rush is not the president. He is a radio talk show host. So you have a choice to turn him on or not.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
There are other leaders in the country outside of the president because the president
doesn't
lead.
I know
that. So hold on. So remember the cattle and Oprah Winfrey? And she got on her show and she said, I'm not eating any more beef. And they took her to court because
yep.
their sales went down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make her not a leader?
She's a leader.
Is she a leader? She goes out to.
Well, that's just
she
people.
Goes,
no.
She goes out to Iowa and says Barack Obama. And next thing we know, he's the primary nominee. Does that make her not a leader?
That's just people following.
No,
that, no, that
does
doesn't
that
make.
That,
that's
that
just people
make,
following.
No,
her.
No, no. If they're following her, who's leading?
Oprah Winfrey is not a leader. Suppose Michael Jordan go out and say he's not wearing any more BBDs.
Then we
Come
ain't gonna
on,
buy
Tracy.
No more BBDs. That's what I'm saying.
He'd have girls Listen. Lined up at his hotel room about a mile and a half if he had no more BBDs. They'd want to get in on the photos and selfies and everything with the man.
These guys are crazy.
But I'm serious.
He's a leader.
I think that's just, yeah, okay, you could call them leaders, but people have a choice whether they want to listen to them or not.
But are they not leaders? Millions
of people.
We don't
have a choice if we want to listen to the president.
No, they're influential.
They're influential trendsetters.
They're influential.
That's true.
They're influential, but does that not make them a leader?
No, not necessarily.
Yes and no, because some people are not intentional.
They have the power, but that doesn't mean they have to be a leader.
Because when you're a leader, you're accountable.
That's your wife. That's why, because she's going to be the
queen
of you.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
Oh, no. You don't live in my house. You really don't.
Because you're always wrong, but she's in the house. But on the outside,
she'll
always stand up for you. I'm telling you now, that makes them leader. Hi, Miss.
Hi. I was just going to say that they're indirectly, maybe, but they're more influential, because everybody that may influence you may not intentionally want to lead you, per se. I know you understand that, too. But the reason I called in, you had said the position about Michael Steele. Michael Steele got pushed out because he made the statement that, wasn't it like Afghanistan was Obama's choosing or something? That was the thing that why he had to leave or whatever.
No, he lost.
Yeah, it was.
He
said Obama's choosing of the war or something it was.
No,
Afghanistan.
He got slammed. He got slammed because of his thing against Rush Limbaugh.
He got talked about on that, but when they forced him to resign,
that was his.
That.
He didn't resign. He didn't resign. He just, you know, he couldn't get reelected, and he didn't run for reelection.
Right.
But you have to understand, when he came out in the first two or three weeks of his appointed position by the RNC, he came out. And he went on CNN with D.L. Hughley, he said something against Rush, and next thing he knew, that all the support he once had went, and it was all gone.
Yeah, well, Rush more or less was the vehicle, you know, for the Republican Party in the media with wisdom, even though Rush, and I think somebody else mentioned this too,
so
he continuously tells you, but Rush continuously tells you, I'm an entertainer.
Can I ask you this? Okay, so let me say this.
And he tells you that he does not represent the Republican Party.
I can either lead by omission or commission, but no matter what, if people are following me in the millions, that makes me a leader. Even in my own small community, you know, if people are following you, does that not make you a leader?
No, because Barack Obama has influence, but he is definitely not a leader.
But is he leading people?
No. He's not leading
anyone. He does persuade some people.
He's in a position where he has to be a leader.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be one.
Yeah, he's in a position where he has to be a leader, but that doesn't mean he's fulfilling
that
job as being a
leader. He's maneuvering people. He's not leading them. He's maneuvering them.
Yeah, he's that, and he's bullying them. He's not leading them.
Because
he comes in and tells you, I'm going to do this, you know, whether you like it or not.
But is he not – let me say this. Is he still not, and don't get me wrong, I may not agree with his leadership. And
right.
I think he is one of the best leaders. I think he's one of the worst leaders that we've ever had in the White House.
Yeah.
I don't think he's leading anybody.
That's what makes
When you bully somebody, that's not leading. You could be oppressing them, and they'll follow suit. But that's not leading.
Was the Pied Piper a leader?
No.
The Pied Piper did. Whoa. Let me do this. The Pied Piper absolutely was a leader, but the Pied Piper did something proactive to
get
things done.
Right?
This man is not doing proactive.
He's not doing proactive in our opinion. But there are people out there. Hold on. There are people out there in the progressive movement and on the left. You can't tell me that he's not their leader.
Tell you this. He's the vehicle that they use to do what they want to do.
I don't see him as a leader. Listen to what I said. The words that came out of my mouth. Is he not leading folks?
I don't think these people want to be leaders.
No, they don't want to be leaders.
But
they are.
But the people that are following them are making them leaders. But they are stepping back saying, whoa, I'm just doing my job. And I don't think that Rush Limbaugh wants to be the leader of the Republican Party.
Nobody likes the money that he makes doing it.
Yeah,
but
I can agree on that
not,
one.
But he continually says he's not the leader. He doesn't represent them.
He doesn't want them. But you have to understand, just by the nature of what he does, it puts him into position of influence, which makes him a leader. Whether he leads or not, it is still true.
Why
don't they go to Rush as who the presidential candidate should be? They didn't do that when the McCain was there. Because
yeah,
that was
be
that if issue that, before
that,
about
president.
What Rush did. McCain wasn't
Listen,
who he wanted.
Don't they go for him to suggest who should be.
Let me say this. They don't go to him to suggest, but they go to them to field.
No, they don't.
He wasn't fielding
you know
for McCain.
Because he didn't want McCain nor Romney. He fought for Romney near the end.
He fought for Romney near the end because he had no choice. I'll be right back.
Right.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drugs.
Hello. I don't see somebody a leader just because they have followers. That just makes them a trendsetter or somebody that people want to follow. You know, and it's that's as ridiculous as going into a crowd of hungry people telling them, you know, where the food is. That doesn't make you their leader. You've manipulated them. You know,
correct.
If a tow truck comes and hooks up to your bumper and starts dragging you down the road because he sees you're in trouble and he's taking you where he's going, that doesn't make him your leader. That makes him somebody who's giving you hope. That doesn't make you a leader.
Right.
Or who has promised you resolution to your crisis. And that's what we see a lot of with the politicians. They promise resolution to whatever your pain is, you know?
Right.
And they're so disingenuous, too, because if they go to your town, they tell you women's pain, and they come to my town, they tell me old blind men pain, you know?
Right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard Bianchi speak up before. I just had to tease Jeff about what a vacation is.
I missed that part because I think I was walking in the house. I just saw her bits and pieces of the other. But I just looked this up, too. They did, too, say Michael Steele had the situation for his remarks claiming Afghanistan is a war of Obama's choosing, which the United States never really wanted to engage in. That's what I remember that was about. I didn't think I was so stupid.
No, and that, but, you know, that's like a Joe Biden comment. You know, Poland is not a communist, or who Gerald Ford, or somebody said that Poland wasn't a communist country or something, you know, or whatever. You know, it's crazy. It's like, are you that out of touch, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I really think Harry Reid is just losing his mind. He's the other day when the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby and it was 5-4, Harry Reid comes out in public and goes, I just don't think it's right. I'm going to do something about it.
If you feel like that's what you want
to
do.
You got to get the word.
Yeah, he's crazy, too.
Bring me down to the 75th to bring me down that Obamacare. Bring me down that Obamacare crap.
Yes.
What?
I said I like Jeff's parody better.
Yeah.
Bring me down, because I'm clapping if you feel like a room without a roof.
It's Friday, guys.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Hey, guys, we're back. Here. Listen.
Clap along if you
feel go ahead, Edgar.
To you, because I'm happy.
We're
That's
here.
What you want
Can you believe
do?
It? We're here. Yeah, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Hey, we're closing up to the top of the day. We're almost done.
Yeah, I know. End of the week. Closing another
this
chapter.
Is good.
Yeah, I know.
This is good. We've made it. We made it.
Hey.
Because I got to work tomorrow, so it's probably the end of the week for me.
Green.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry.
It's good to have you. I got your package. I'm going to send it home to your with your husband.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good to
You're
join.
Welcome.
You know what? You made me go online, and I did find that about the Afghanistan war comment Michael Steele made. And I guess because he made a statement that war of Obama's choosing. And I guess the GOP felt that he wasn't supporting the military. He wasn't voicing their support for the military, and he wasn't owning up to – because they had supported them going into the military. Remember
the
because
is,
Barack Obama
that came,
used to say
that
on the campaign
after.
Trail that the only war we should be in is Afghanistan, and then once he got in, I guess he was saying something else, and Michael Steele made
the – that was after his implosion with D.L. Hughley. Because he imploded when D.L. Hughley.
Okay.
But then I got my own. I got my own issues that I have with some people that have how this worked out. That it was his fault and he forgot where he was and where he came from and he just wanted to be who he was and that's not how this works. It's still politics, and he's still black in America.
Well,
so all that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And if you don't, believe me, I said it. But.
You know,
well, then you
on.
Need to take heed to what you said. Are you a leader or you're not a leader?
Who?
You.
Who, me? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. And, and the reason why I'm a leader is because I have influence, and I have to take that influence response. Even if I'm only leading three people, I'm still
but
a leader.
But I think you're the difference. You stated what you just said. You take it responsible. You have to be responsible. You take it responsibly, that
you have
position.
To.
Mm-hmm.
You have
are.
To.
Not everybody does that. Think about
but,
the baseball
but I'm saying
player.
Is, but they're still leaders. They're still influenced. They're still influential. That's
they are
the
influential, but they go
and
to court daily to tell you, I'm not a leader. Your mother and father should be your leader, which is true. But they tell you, no, don't, you know, don't hold me accountable.
That's what the ball players say.
And
they say
still
it
leaders.
Every time they go to court.
I'm not a leader, but they are. That's just it.
Well,
that's
role
just
models.
What I'm saying. They're
they
role models,
role
but they
models,
still make them leaders.
And they have public influence.
I don't. I look leader. I don't think that's what a leader is. A leader
that's not
is
what.
Some,
I mean, we're not talking about the technical. I'm not talking about the technical. You know, definition of leadership, because there's a difference between leaders and leadership. The managerial leadership, that's something different. But there are people who are very, very devious and very, very evil who are leaders. You can't say that they're not.
Well, I agree with you.
And I don't agree
that.
With their technicality. I don't agree with what they do. But people follow them, and they are leaders, even if they lead them off a cliff.
Okay, so you're going to say that by reason of if anybody agrees with you and goes after you, then you're a leader. I don't.
I didn't
call
say
them.
I agree with these people. I didn't say agree.
Well, they
these
follow.
People follow these people. What? If you say we're going to wear red tomorrow. Wait, hold on. Is Al Sharpton a leader?
Who? I don't think
okay.
so.
Al Sharpton?
Is Jesse Jackson a leader?
Well, he calls himself a leader.
No.
Because he claims.
Why not? Hold on, Mike. Wait, hold on. Tell me he's not. These people, they come out and say, you know, go down there, Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman, and this was a racist thing, and we all go down, quit our jobs, wear a hoodie and some Skittles, and go down there and march. You can't tell me they're not leading people.
I think that's a superficial thing, because isn't a leader supposed to be responsible, like with vision, and tells you how to get something done so that you can do, and everybody agrees to follow like that?
No,
Jesse
that's leadership.
Jackson
I'm done for the
do
day.
That.
I love you guys. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. You're listening to church.
Darn, it's over.
Okay.
Well, next week I'm going on the attack with the liberal agenda, because this is all I want to know. When you tell me how great President Obama is doing, and I will accept that as face value as truth from their perspective, then why are you talking out of the other side of your mouth how we need to ramp up to help even more people now, because there's more people hurting now than before? If he's doing such a great job and things are getting better, then why are there more people that need help now than before?
That's a good point. He
can't have
not,
it both ways. And actually, I wish I could take credit for that. I have a friend of mine who is a native Hawaiian, and he is a pastor, and he runs one of the most successful homeless shelters in his area in Hawaii. And he went to a meeting of other charities
and the state had, the governor had a representative there. This was about 2-3 years ago. And they were all told that they found an extra $10 million in the state budget, and all the charities were going to get a little more help from the state. And everybody in the room started cheering. And my friend stood up and just said, what are you cheering about? The fact that you're failing? Mm. If you're really doing your job, you should need less money this year than you needed last year.
Okay.
And he ended
unless
up closing
there's
his
more
house
of a problem, right?
Yeah, because they're not really fixing the problem. They're going out there trying to see if they can make more people qualify for the problem so they can just create their own little bureaucracy of steady employment. They don't see it that way, but that's what they're doing. If I've given you $100 million a year for 10 years, and in the 11th year you tell me you need $200 million, well, I know things go up in price, but it means you haven't put a dent in the problem. If you tell me homelessness was 10% 10 years ago and homelessness today is 15%, how could that be? Didn't you fix it for the first 10%? Should it be 5%, assuming there's new people homeless, you know? You should be making improvement, covering ground, and they're just not. And my friend was so successful in his little area of Hawaii that he, after a while, was able to close his homeless facility because it just wasn't that big of a need in his community anymore.
Well, that's wonderful.
And then they could deal with people on a one-by-one as they came in if they fell on hard times. He didn't need a whole institution bureaucracy with his hand out in the public till. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
What is his ministry?
His ministry is, I don't know what denomination.
Is it a church?
Yes, it's a church, yes. And he's a pastor, and I never got into what denomination or anything with him. But basically, though, one of the things he was very active in is starting this addressing homelessness. And currently, the entire church toward that would be what they would be doing to help out, you know. And he's been so successful that 2 years ago he closed his homeless shelter after 10 years or 12 years of operation because the problem was pretty much fixed in his area. He didn't need the whole bureaucracy. It was top-heavy then and not helping that many people any longer and because they just weren't there or they weren't coming forward. So they scaled it way back to where walk into the church and tell him you have a need and he'll find you some resources to help you out. You know, basically that's what he does now, you know.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at one time they used to house 300-400 people or something, and they just didn't need it. When it got down to 20 or 30 people, there's less expensive, less bureaucratic, more direct ways to help those few people.
Well, that's wonderful. That's true. You need to solve the problem. Don't have it continue.
Yeah.
And like you said, or raise, you know, for more people to get on assistance.
And so we started a research project a few weeks ago, and I'm seeing that hunger in America has become an industry.
Mm.
And when you look at all the money given to charity, and you look at all the charitable organizations like the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church with their pantries and the Angel Food Network and FeedAmerica.org and all these people, and then you look at the advertising saying one out of every 7 Americans is hungry, okay, and then you look at in 2013, $74.6 billion spent on the food stamp program, and you do the math on 1 out of 7 Americans with all this free food, and, of course, public assistance is not devoid of part of that check is also a budget for food. You can argue whether or not that's sufficient. I understand that. But then those are then the people who could also qualify for food stamps and other assistance or go to a church pantry or go to a soup kitchen or get Angel Food Network has that little package that you can sign up for $30, and it's enough food in the box to feed a family of 4 for 7 days, 3 meals per person. That's $30. Surely somebody on welfare with a family of 4 gets at least $30 of their welfare check. You know, for food in a week. You know, the government doesn't expect you're going to feed 4 people on less than that. There's so much out there. But what it comes down to is just the food stamp program alone, it comes out to over $1,800 a year per person. Well, I know families of 4 who are the working poor who earn... Oh, I got something happened there.
Okay.
I know families of four who are in the working poor who have an annual household income of $30,000 or $35,000. If they had $7,600 a year to feed the four people in their house, they would have thought they died and went to heaven. There's just so what. So and then you hear these things like there's one organization, I won't mention their name, but I'm checking in the legalities, they're just coming out publicly and challenging their public service announcements doing fundraising, how legitimate they are. And they claim that for a $1 donation, they can provide 7 nutritious meals. Well, if we turned over the federal food stamp budget to them, for half the money, they could feed everybody in America 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and do it for about half the money. There'd be no hunger if what they brag about is true and they could do it.
That's true.
When you do the math, you need to sit down and do the long division. It's going to hurt, you know. Like Einstein said, if your brain had pain receptors, it would probably hurt to think. And again, I don't doubt for one minute that somewhere in America there are some families who have dropped through the cracks. You'll never hear about them. They're proud folks. They're probably in the rural areas. They're not, you know. They're not in the inner city where somebody's knocking on their door 15 times a month telling them they qualify for stuff. And so are their neighbors telling them that, you know.
Right.
I'll be very proud, hardworking people. Who were at the fragile end of our society economically, I understand that, you know. And most of those people wouldn't take the assistance anyway because they're too proud and they still are very independent and believe that it's up to them to provide for their family. And I'm sure there are those people out there. But 1 out of 7 Americans, well, when you do the poverty statistics and you correlate that against the CDC statistics, the Center for Disease Control, which is a federal agency in Atlanta.
Okay.
The poorest amongst us are the fattest amongst us. They have more obesity.
That's true.
Now, you don't get
that.
And it's
the food that they permit, you
yeah.
know, you to eat
yeah.
the
it's nutritional
starches.
Ignorance. Right. But they spend a lot of money because, you know, a half gallon of ice cream
yeah.
and Oreos and all that stuff and potato chips, they're really expensive.
Right.
And you know, a day of junk food, what the average poor family spends on a day of junk food, you could probably buy 30 pounds of brown rice for in bulk at one of these natural stores, you know. And brown rice is a good, nutritious meal. Some black beans and stuff. It may not be exciting, but that's
what your
creativity.
Yeah, brown rice is very nutritional. That's right.
Yeah. And there are whole populations in the world who don't have diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
That's true.
Don't have heart disease, don't have all these other problems, ADD, HDD, and their children and everything else, and they live on rice.
That's true.
And again, I'm not here to tell someone how to run their life, but don't come to me and say because there's a problem out there because of other people choosing how they choose to live and the lifestyle they choose to build and the dietary habits they choose to gravitate toward. Don't tell me that I got to give up another 15% of my annual income because, after all, we have to feed those people. Those people are being overfed. We're killing them with so much
right.
food.
Right, the wrong
so many,
food.
Yeah, we're killing them. Even the AMA back in June of 2002 finally admitted type 2 diabetes is mostly dietary. If the average person with type 2 diabetes, and again, CDC and AMA, not old blind Mike, you know, telling you, if they were to lose 30 pounds, 90% of the people with type 2 diabetes would no longer have it. 90%. And diabetes is one of the most serious problems in our country right now because it's like you live long enough, you're going to have diabetes. That's what they're trying to get us to believe.
I'm glad you said that. That's what they're trying to get us to believe.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody I know with type 2 diabetes in their senior years are all overweight, at least 40 or 50 pounds. It messes up your glycemic response, the kind of food you choose to eat and everything else. And, just so much research to share how the junk food companies basically design the food to become addictive, the junk food. There are books out about this, and they're not conspiracy scare tactic books. They are the people who actually worked on the projects who are reporting the statistics, because when you trace back the ownership of most of the companies that sell junk food targeted toward children today, your candies and your cookies and all that, when you trace back their ownership, they are all owned by tobacco companies who 70, 80 years ago figured out how to addict people.
Now, that's interesting. I'd like to know, because I know you didn't know this about me, but I used to work for Philip Morris USA.
Did you?
I sure did. But we
I'm against
did,
the wall. We're frisking you. You're a criminal.
This is funny, but we didn't buy, oh, my God. When I went on board, I'm trying to think exactly when, this was back in 1982, they had just, they were getting ready to sell 7-Up because they used to own 7-Up.
Yeah.
But they then later purchased Kraft Foods.
Yep.
So, but that was later. I don't know if anything that they did, you know,
and if, and
directly
Kraft,
to change some of those things, but I know that they purchased, you know, Kraft after I was on board. Now, mind you, this was after 1982 because that's when I came on board. I want to say it was like 83 or 84 when they purchased them.
And Hugh Blind, that used to be the distillery, bought Taco Bell and all those other companies where, you know, where you get the junk food and stuff. There is a book written by a gentleman, Dr. Paul Zane Pilser.
I'm going to write that down. Hold on. Paul
Zane Pilser.
How do you spell the last name?
I believe it's P-I-L-Z-E-R.
Okay.
And the book's title is The Next $1 Trillion Industry. And there's two versions. There's the version that sums up the research, and there's the one with all the research in it, so you can go check the data, and if you want to run all the experiments. Dr. Pilser, the book is probably 10 years old or 12 years old at this point.
Okay.
Dr. Pilser is the man out of the Wharton School of Business who went to work for one of the junk food companies, and he is attributed the credit of creating what they call the potato chip equations. You can't just eat one.
Okay, right. Well, I would believe that they would design it where you could not eat just one, because how else are you going to make
money?
What they do is
some very interesting research in the book, and he lays out the case, and he was the guy who was in charge of these programs, so he knows what he's talking about until he realized the immorality of what he's doing. He's a rabbi in his later years. He was one of the youngest vice presidents, I think it was Citibank or Chase Bank when he was younger. He was also a multimillionaire by age 30, and he worked in the industry when he was right out of college in this, and he wrote the business model, and here's the business model he wrote, and this is what he shared, and I had the pleasure of sharing a speaking engage with him back in February of 2002.
I just looking
McDonald's
up,
and all those fast food places discovered that 90% of their food is consumed by 10% of their customers. The other 90% of their customers only consume 10% of their food. You and I go there maybe once a month or once, twice a year or something. But there are people who eat three times a day at McDonald's. All the fast food places know this, that 10% of their business is 90% of their customers, and 90% of their business is 10% of their customers.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And now that you say that, I now understand why I can remember, and our daughter is 20, but I can remember this was even, you know, back when she was like maybe 10 or 11 or 12, we had a new pediatrician, and I remember I kind of got offended that they pulled her aside and they were questioning her, which bothered me, but then that's part of, I guess, they were preparing for the new health care laws or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember them questioning her about what foods.
Yes.
And they wanted to know if she knew various vegetables and fruits and things.
And let me tell you how they used the statistics to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They began to supersize the portions. they would give money, they would give food away, actually at a loss. And here's why. Because if in the first and second and third quarter of any year they can cause you to gain 20 pounds, being one of those 10%, 90% of their customer sales,
mm-hmm.
in the fourth quarter, you would consume more that you would pay for. Because the fatter you get, the more you have an eating disorder and the more you will eat, the more out of control you will become. They learned that if they could give it, you know, pay it forward, give you some free food, and cause you to eat more than you normally would have, and you can gain 20 pounds on average in the first two or three quarters of a year, by the fourth quarter, they could count on that 10% of their customers buying a lot more from them.
That's crazy. But you know what? There's probably a lot of facts. They know.
Yeah, they know.
Now, I will tell you this in terms of the tobacco companies.
Yeah.
Image was very big.
Yeah.
That's why you had the commercials. We can probably recall many of the commercials now that have not been on television since, the 70s.
Right.
Winston takes good like a cigarette should, and so on and so forth. You can't take Salem out of the country, or you can take Salem out of the country, but you can't take country out of Salem. All of those things, you know, played on our minds, and of course they were enticing, so people did buy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's why I think I have an issue with what Tracy was saying about leadership. There are some things that can entice you to do some things, pull upon maybe your lust
or
whatever.
You're being manipulated.
You're indirectly being manipulated, you know, but it's not somebody leading you with full knowledge of information. I mean, you have to sit back and say, okay, I'm not going to let superficial things control me, or the impulse things. Now, that was the one thing that I will tell you that I did learn with the tobacco company. Right. We used to have cigarettes that were on cigarette shelving. I used to pay for space on the counters for impulse sales.
Yep.
And now we can't do it any longer because of all the pilferage.
Right.
But that was a big thing, impulse sales.
Sure.
Because you wanted to get that person that was, you know, driving in, you know, let's say what we call Miller time, again, a commercial, and then when they're getting their beer on the way home, where they're at the checkout, we want them to pick up that Marlboro that I've maybe attached a lighter to or something like that. So they knew how to entice you in that respect. They did.
And now here's where they put the final piece in. When the tobacco company started purchasing these companies or getting large controlling interests, they taught them how to addict people.
Okay.
They begin to put additives in the food, and they tested this through one-way mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Dr. Pilsner left that industry, because he went to the CEO and said, have you been down there? Have you been seeing what these people do when they sit there and eat?
And this is
Paul
Zane Pilsner, correct?
Yeah, Paul Zane Pilsner.
Yeah, I just looked him. I'm going to look this up. It's the book, though.
Next Trillion Dollar Industry is the name of the book. And
Paul
Zane Pilsner told this to a CEO, and the CEO said, no, I never go down there. He said, if I saw what was going on, he said, I probably couldn't stomach it. They put additives in the food to shut down your body's production of a pheromone that comes out just under your nose. It tells you when you've eaten enough.
I believe that. I do. I do believe that.
So
I understand.
It shuts down your sensation of satiety is the technical term.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you sit there and just eat and eat.
And you eat.
And eat until you are physically uncomfortable. That's what will shut it down. You just, you don't eat too much, you know. But because the natural pheromone that would stable, you know, as your blood sugar came back up and all those symptoms of hunger that are physiologically oriented that would trigger all this have all been shut down because you're not detecting that pheromone, and so you'll just eat and eat and eat. And that's where you cannot just eat one is really the truth.
I believe that. Even things like MSG that we put on foods to supposedly high, and that may be a part of what they do.
And diet sodas are another whole scam unto themselves. In the artificial sweetener, there's a chemical called phenylalanine, and I believe that's how it's pronounced. It's been 20 years since I did that research. That phenylalanine, though it is true the sodas have less sugar in them, you know, and so you don't gain calories, they make you hungry. They trigger uncontrollable hunger. The way they do it is the phenylalanine interferes with your body's ability. As your blood sugar drops, it interferes with your body's ability to take stored body fat and begin
to burn it
to replace
it.
So you
go and crave stuff,
eat more, and now you're not losing weight with a diet soda. And in fact, again, then if you're eating something that has the satiety suppressor in it, then you'll eat more than you need, and you'll actually gain weight because you're drinking diet sodas.
I believe that, and I don't do the sodas. I will use stevia, but that's natural.
Yeah.
But I do not any of the aspartame, none of that stuff.
Right.
I never like the
let
taste.
Let me turn you on to a product that's even better than stevia.
Okay.
It is called Just Like Sugar.
Okay.
And I believe it's Just Like Sugar USA or JustLikeSugarCompany.com. There's an Australian
And what
division.
Is it?
It is a blend of herbs, chicory and orange peel and all this other stuff that it's even granular. Put it on your tongue, and either some people take, if you eat it plain, you'll either take slight licorice or you'll taste the citrus. If you mix it into just water, it tastes like you just put a teaspoon of sugar into a glass of water. It has zero calories. There's nothing artificial in it.
And okay.
I have a friend of mine, a radio person, who turned me on to it up in Canada. For 2 months, all he did when he wanted a soda, he just took a glass of water and put a teaspoon in and mixed it so he could drink something sweet. He dropped 30 pounds.
I'm just now seeing this, too. I never heard of this. And this isn't I got to see what this is.
And they make it for baking and everything. And I use it in my tea and everything. I'll put it on strawberries and all that. Because, you know, I was raised that you sprinkle sugar on strawberries. You know, or blueberries, you know. Well, you can put it on cereal, and it is, I have never had anybody tell me that it didn't taste just like sugar. It's even granular.
Okay, I see. It's chicory root, dietary fiber, calcium, vitamin C, natural flavors from the peel of the orange.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just one thing. I don't think ever. Can you find this in a health food store?
No. Yes, if you can find the network. I buy it direct from the company. I just bought another 2 pounds the other day, and I just use it in all my beverages and stuff if I want something sweet.
Yeah. I use the stevia, and I've just now got my husband to use it. He likes it. I can make a lemonade for him, you know, in a glass.
Yeah.
And but we're learning. But everybody else still in the house. We still have sugar in the house. I'll put
I
it
know.
That way.
I'm in the South here, and everybody loves sweet tea. I am buying the, you know, like it's on my list for next week to get some of the instant Lipton tea without sugar in it, you know, that you add your own sugar.
Okay.
And you know, because I like, you know, and these are in steeping a cup of tea. And I'll put the Just Like Sugar in there, and I'll make up a quart at a time, you know, because you can control the amount of sweetness. And there are times that I do want something sweet. But it's zero calories.
Yeah, I have never heard of this. I'm wondering if it's there's something here called Baked Right also with this.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the website
for
Just Like Sugar.
I don't know what else is. I know they have a number of products, and you know, and they have a confectioner sugar for baking, or you want to sprinkle it on something like jelly donuts, if you make your homemade jelly donuts, you know, and stuff. They just have different ways. Like I say, I just buy the granulated table sugar.
Okay. You know, so I'm going to thank you. I'm so glad I stayed on. Normally I don't get on, but I'm so glad I stayed on.
Yeah. Like I say, I just, being blind, I feel frustrated sometimes because I can't do a lot of my own fact-gathering. I would love to do more reading and stuff. It's always been the bane of my existence since I was a little kid. Now with computers that talk and stuff, it's easier to read books and stuff and learn. I'm just always amazed at just even politically, how uninformed people are.
That is true.
And how what they talk about most of the time isn't what they've learned. It's what they were told to believe.
That's true. It's what, yeah, because they don't teach you how to think for
right.
yourself or how to learn. You know, it's
right.
information that someone has given you, and they
yeah.
tell you to retain it.
Right.
And that's
so,
what you do.
So when I give statistics and stuff, this is stuff, don't take my word for it. You know, I want to tell people, get off your lazy butt, go to the Internet, or go to the library, or go somewhere, or call this
well,
phone
I'm
number.
Well, I'm glad, like I said, I'm writing down the names here
yeah,
so I can go
I
back.
I can tell that. I can tell that.
I'm looking
I
like,
a
wait a minute,
because
I never heard of that, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and there's just so much stuff out there that you can just research yourself and verify. Go, okay, now at least I'm comfortable with my belief because I've been able to verify why people say this, that there's some
right, and then you
and
can check and see for yourself how it's going
right.
to work for you, if it's, you know,
right.
true or whatever. Like I immediately ask you, what is it? What is it made
right.
of? Because I want
right.
something natural. I'm tired of all the artificial
yeah.
that's there.
And
I believe what you say about the other thing. I like when you said the tobacco companies, I believe Kraft may have had some other people who ever owned them before or whatever do some things too,
right.
but I'm sure with the purchase or being purchased
yeah.
by Philip Morris USA,
yeah.
I'm sure then all the advertising techniques came in, and I'm sure all their chemists and everything, because I used
yeah.
to ask them, you know, hey, does this really, because think about it. You have the Surgeon General's warning on the
yeah.
cigarettes.
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore, you know, because it may cause. And I remember asking one of the gentlemen that did a ride with us one day, And I said, well, what about the cancer? Why is this May, you know, does it cause it or what? Or why are we fighting, you know, so against this? And I remember him saying this, and it's like a technicality, legal technicality. He said they cannot directly say that this caused cancer because there are other elements of carcinogens that are in your house.
Right.
That may also cause cancer.
Right.
And
right.
your body, just like your immune, everyone's immune system is different.
Correct.
Somebody is more yeah. prone to illness than the person
right.
that's in the house with them. But he said there
yeah.
are carcinogens that come off of your stove when your stove is off if you got a gas stove.
Yes, and there are carcinogens in the synthetic fabrics in your house.
The fabrics,
in
the
your
carpet,
cleaning chemicals,
there's things like this.
In the paint that was put on your wall, in the floor finish
right.
they use on your hardwood floors. In fact, again, the CDC and the EPA,
mm-hmm.
says that in many homes, when tested, the air quality in the home was anywhere from 7 times to as high as 70 times more toxic than breathing outside air on a street with traffic.
That's right. And then when I worked with Philip Morris, I was with him for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
We learned that it's okay with smoking, even inside a building, as long as you have proper ventilation.
Yeah.
They also had ventilation systems that were up where you could be in a hotel or wherever
yeah.
and or a restaurant and the cigarette smoke not affect you. What the problem
right.
was, many of your business owners did not have the money to make that investment.
Right.
You know, and so therefore there was the other thing. But they did do certain things. We as cigarette reps, we
yeah.
used to have our customers
yeah.
Sign petitions, you know, that were against X, Y, and Z when they were talking about banning
yeah.
cigarettes on the airlines,
yeah.
you know. And here we're getting signatures from people who didn't fly or never flew.
Yeah.
You know,
here's an interesting statistic for you about air quality in your home, again, from the CDC. You
mm-hmm.
know, because, you know, the CDC, when your doctor fills out and you come in and say you have flu, ultimately the CDC knows that, okay, your doctor saw one more person with flu. That's how you know where the epidemics are and everything else.
Right.
And so all this stuff gets reported to the CDC, okay? Women who stay at home or work at home and do not leave the house for at least 8 to 10 hours per day
mm-hmm.
have a 50% higher cancer rate than women who do.
I didn't know that one. That's interesting.
And I believe I've seen statistics as high as 70%.
I wonder why.
It's all the crap that you were talking about in the house, all the carcinogens.
So
that
the carcinogens there in the house, I'm wondering, because I'm thinking usually women who are at home, I'm thinking of a mother, you know, taking care of your child, and then see when your child is out and about, you bring in other germs and things. So I'm wondering if are they women who are at home at a certain age?
I'm thinking maybe
55 and over.
Information. All I know is that women who stay at home and don't leave the house for at least 8 to 10 hours a day and get out of that toxic environment have a higher cancer rate. That's what the stats show. Your home is one of the worst places for air quality.
That's where air quality. I can see that too.
And
but I remember hearing that years ago from the. He was like a chemist.
Well, as energy got more expensive, we tightened up our homes starting in the 60s. You know, air infiltration and all
that's
that. There was a time when air just blew in through the windows and you just sat closer to the fire, you know.
Right.
And, and then we started, we have internal heating systems. A lot of people, I'm amazed at how many people just let their dryer blow lint into the air rather than duck it outside because they think they're getting all that free heat and their house is just full of this microfiber dust everywhere, you know.
Oh, my.
It's just amazing. It's just really amazing. I'm getting the high sign here that there's someone waiting to speak to me.
Yeah, I have
here.
To leave too, but it was interesting.
But
you are, again, Blind Mike? Is that what
yes.
you said?
Well, they call me Not So Blind Mike.
Not So Blind
I
Mike.
See Jeff say I see things that other people don't.
Well, I understand that. I understand. Well, I enjoyed talking to you. I'm Mrs. Jeff Green. So.
Oh, are you?
I sure am.
Are you Jeff's wife?
Yes, I am.
I said I'm Mrs. Jeff Green.
And then are you his wife? I understand because in today's world, somebody may say they're Mrs. and they're not married, but we are married.
Well, no, I just didn't know whether you were his wife or his sister or what.
No.
But it was so funny because when he made this forlorn comment as I dialed in today about how what's a vacation? He goes, I don't know what a vacation is.
Right.
And Tracy knows, and so does Jeff know, where my heart is, because being blind, I move very freely in the black community because my life has paralleled the black experience because I was the first blind child in the United States, and my mother fought for my rights to go to public school, and I became the first blind child in the United States who attended public school.
Oh, well, praise God for that.
Yeah, so employment and denying equal wages and opportunity and education. I mean, I have had to fight the struggle. And matter of fact, I have had teachers when I was in high school who physically put their hands on me and bodily threw me out of their classroom screaming that they did not want a blind child in their class.
Oh, no.
And this was 4 years after the Civil Rights Act was passed. Okay, so I'm very sympathetic. So I get away with saying stuff to Jeff and Tracy that most people don't because they know where I come from, you know.
Oh, my.
And so Jeff was forlorning what's a vacation. And I said, here, Jeff, let me help my brother out. Let me tell you the definition of a vacation from my perspective. It's when just white people go places and snap their fingers at minority people because whatever they want isn't coming fast enough.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh, my.
And said, oh, you can't say that. But I said, yes, she goes, you're going to say that to me and Jeff, but not on the radio.
Right. Yeah, you never know who's listening.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's the God's honest truth. I really feel that way because I've traveled. And I'm embarrassed. You know, being blind, I have to learn patience because I can't make eye contact.
You do.
So it might take
but
a while
your other
for the
senses
for to
are
get back
heightened,
to
too.
Yes.
Your other senses, because I know my grandmother, she had lost an eye, and I know there were some things that, it seems like her
right.
auditory senses were very
right.
good. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
the same thing, I was raised in an inner-city housing project.
Okay.
My dad was an
you said
alcoholic.
You're from the South? What state?
I'm originally from Connecticut.
Oh, you're from Connecticut?
Yeah.
But you live in the South now?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm in South Carolina now.
Oh,
and,
you're in Carolinas. Okay.
Yeah, and what happened was my dad was an alcoholic, and he abandoned us when we were young. I think he ran out when I was about 11 years old. My mother was an immigrant to this country, didn't know anybody, came here speaking 6 languages because her mother was a professor over in Europe and taught languages. And so my mother learned English as her 7th language so she could become a citizen legally. So you know I stand on that topic.
Yes.
Okay. This,
God,
you know,
bless
in my mother's
you.
Memory, if no other reason why, I've just got a real problem with these people who won't learn English, okay, and make the rest of us have to change our whole society and incur all this duality overhead so that they can be treated fairly. And then I'm saying, okay, we got Spanish, but what about the Vietnamese? What about the Chinese? What about the Germans? What about the Italian? You know,
I understand.
We finally gotten enough languages into our society? You know, and so I find this very upsetting that, you know, you have people come here. And it's further, and it really is part of the conspiracy, I believe, of
I agree
the
too.
Progressives
it's a conspiracy.
Destroy the family, because it was a privilege as a kid when my mother asked me to go with her so that if she didn't understand what was going on when she went to pay the phone bill or something, I could explain it to her.
Oh, that's
wonderful. And they've taken a lot of these elderly people who do not speak English, and they've turned them into dropouts from mainstream society or shut-ins. And you're taking away their children's responsibility to assist their parents into assimilating into the culture.
That's true.
And
oh,
so
my. Well, we will have to talk another time, because
yes.
I have to go pick up my daughter, too. But
so take care
I
of
enjoy
that.
Talking to you.
Same here.
Maybe we'll get a chance to do this again.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. Well, you have
say
a good weekend. I sure will.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.